Everybody, I want to welcome you to the July Woodway City Council meeting. This is the only one in July, so there's only one in June and one in July, so I want to thank everybody for being here and thank you all for your attendance this evening. Time is now 5:31, so I will open the meeting at this time. Our first item on the agenda is our invocation, and I was going to ask Mr. Russell if you wouldn't mind leading us in prayer this evening. Thank you.
Sure. Father God in heaven, please come and join us. You tell us we don't have because we don't ask. We're asking for you to be with us and help us with these decisions. This city is so important to us, the nation, the state, all of it. We need your leadership, need you to touch us, make sure we go in the right directions. You're so important to us. We need to praise you every day and let you know how important you are to us and that we can't live without you. Please help us with all these decisions tonight and watch over our city. In God's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mr. Russell. All right. Our second item on the agenda this evening is our Pledge of Allegiance. Please rise for the pledge if you're ready.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, before we go into our public comment, I'm going to pass it over to our city manager. He has a special introduction that he would like to make. So over to you, sir.
Good evening, everybody. Again, Mayor and Council, thank you for this opportunity. It's kind of strange because I feel like everybody in this room and maybe some of the folks in the audience know Jennifer Rogers, but she served with us as the executive assistant to the city manager for the last 4 years, and we did an internal search first to see if there was any interest in filling that vacancy. And Jennifer interviewed with a couple of other employees, and she ended up being selected for that role. So we're happy to have her continue her service with the city, and she brings over 20 years of service in management and customer service. So she's handled a number of projects for Sean and then also for me. Been very, very thorough and very, very good at what she does. So we're happy to have her continue serving with us. Jennifer?
All right.
I want to say thank you, Mr. Nylett, for that introduction and welcome, and I'm just really excited to be here and to continue serving the citizens of Woodway and our great council, and I appreciate your support. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. Wonderful.
Good choice.
Congratulations. All right, so Jennifer Rogers, our new ACM, welcome, welcome. So happy to have you.
And a good job picking your right people.
Okay. We're moving into our public comment time right now. So the public comment time is a chance for the citizens to address the council on any matter, including items that are on the agenda, except public hearings that are on the agenda. Comments related to public hearings will be heard when the specific hearing starts. And we ask that you please limit your comments to 3 minutes per resolution R-87-11. The council is not permitted to take any action or discuss any item that's not listed on the agenda this evening. So when you're called to speak, please state your name and address. And if you're speaking on a specific agenda item, please state that item before you begin your comments. Thank you for your understanding and your support of this. I should also mention that our timer is up here on the screen behind us, so you'll be able to see how much time you have left in your comments. So at this time, I'd like to open it up for anybody who'd like to address council. All right. Mr. Tankersley, we have one gentleman over here who's going to come on up. So.
Sure.
I saw his hand go up first. Yes, sir. If we could get your name, please.
Sure. Lynn Strang, 8288 Forest Ridge. I kind of thought I'd go into the pickleball thing. And you walk in there and you have to learn how to use it. You know, you see that sign for $2 water. But I found out that you do have a fountain there, and you can fill your own bottle up. So it takes a while to learn how to use facilities, but we're trying to do it. So I'm glad I figured that out. So listen, whoever hired the people, they're nice people and are doing a good job, and I'm surprised they can be that attentive. I'd like to see more usage there. I don't know if you've given any thought to open it on a Saturday. It seems like that's a big use each day. I use the Waco YMCA. Boy, they seem crowded. I don't know why you wouldn't be as crowded. So I've tried to bring my old buddies over there to use it, and we have a hard time. There's really nothing to do. It took us 2 hours to learn how to play dominoes. We finally learned that. But, you know, if we had a cup of coffee, it really would be helpful. So a pot of coffee is 50 cents. I think you could trust us to put it back in a cup and have a little cream and sugar, and it just make it a lot more useful. You kind of sit in that room by yourself, and you bring your buddies over, and they're just not willing to hang out with me. So I would like to make it so that they will. And the only other thing I would do is suggest to you, you know, I see the pavilion, and that bothers me. I kind of feel like sometimes you're going into private enterprise, and you're overextending. I'm maybe a little more concerned about water pressure, water costs, trash costs, and I just wonder if you ought to be in those kinds of services. So that's my advice. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Yes, sir, Mr. Tankersley. Thank you.
I'm Kevin Tankersley, 8824 Gladedale. I am chair of the Woodway Parks and Recreation Commission, and I would like to talk about item number 14, the potential partnership between Midway ISD and the city of Woodway. We had a presentation at our last Parks and Rec meeting about this potential partnership with what the city can do to enhance the PAW there at Woodway Elementary School. And the Parks and Rec Commission, we had lots of questions for our presenter. And she did a great job. We asked good questions, and then we voted unanimously to go forward with this project, to recommend it to the City Council, which is why we're here tonight. This project will benefit the community of Woodway much more than it will benefit Woodway Elementary School. Woodway Elementary School has exclusive use of the PAW from like 7 to 5. On school days. It is open to the public the rest of the time. There are no gates. You can't close it off. It is open to the public all the time, with the exception of school hours. I've used that PAW a lot. I've put a bunch of miles in walking in circles on that PAW. It is in almost constant use. Lights there at the PAW would just be a huge draw to draw more folks into the use of the PAW. Woodway Elementary has been a good partner with the city of Woodway. The Public Safety Department uses Woodway Elementary property every year for its barbecue. Woodway allows the church across the street from it to have a festival there every year. So there are many more community folks that use this PAW than just the school. And so I would like to encourage the council to approve this project. Thanks, y'all.
Thank you, sir. All right. Anybody else? Okay. There being none, I'll close the public comment time at 5:40 p.m. Thank you all so much for your comments. All right. Moving on to our presentations, and we've got quite a few this evening. We're going to start off with recognizing one of our own. This is the recognition of City of Woodway Public Safety Department retiree, Corporal Terry Mason. So, Chief, is this you?
Yes, sir.
Great.
I'm not happy about this one.
Come on up, Mr. Mason, if you don't mind, Corporal, and your family, too. This is just as much about them as it is about you. A little bit about Terry Mason. I'm going to read his accolades, and they're many. We could be here all day. The thing about Terry is I came here in 2008. I'd never done law enforcement in my life, didn't know anything about it, just knew I wanted to serve. And Terry was the first person who took me in and just really raised me in a sense and mentored me my first several years in back in 2008. And I modeled my law enforcement career based on him, so it makes me sad. But a little bit about Terry. 25 years of dedicated experience to the community and also to the country. As a Marine, you defended our nation. As a public safety officer, you defended these streets. As an officer with the most arrests in Woodway PSD's history, you specialized in drug interdiction and DWIs and trained almost every officer, including me, during your distinguished tenure. You've been a friend to many and a brother to all. Your experience on the SWAT team and the negotiations team spans decades, and your work as the canine officer made you the multi-versatile officer residents wanted to see in times of crisis. You received Officer of the Year multiple times and the Life-Saving Award for saving the life of an elderly man stuck in a burning home. And on a personal note, you took me in as a new officer, and your ethical and moral compass showed bright during that entire time. That defines your legacy as a man who did not stand for injustice and spoke the truth regardless of the outcome. So we thank you and congratulate you on your next chapter that you have so well earned. And I'm going to say Terry was my best man. Don't say co-best man. Was my best man at my wedding about, 10, 11 years ago. I had to share the honor because I had two very aggressive men who wanted me to make them my best man. So they both share honor. But I truly love this man. And Tara and Jordan, I've known Jordan literally since you were showing me your My Little Ponies back when you were just a baby. So I'm going to miss him terribly, but 25 years, he definitely deserves the break. Do you have anything to say?
I appreciate the time I worked here. I appreciate the City Council's support of the Public Safety Department through all my years. If it weren't for y'all, we couldn't do the job that we do. And I'm gone from here, but I'll still be in the community. I'll be serving with Midway ISD at South Bosque Elementary.
I'll be a guardian. I didn't want to be a police officer. I want to be a guardian.
We have a mayor.
Yes. Yeah, we do. So, Corporal, the city has a small little gift to give you just to say thank you for your service to our community, and it's a clock, and on it it says Corporal Terry Mason, with great honor and recognition for your loyal and dedicated service to the City of Woodway and its citizens, and then it's your dates of service on here, so October 1999 to July 2024. So congratulations.
Yes, sir.
I can't let this go. I'm that elderly man that he pulled out the fire.
Thank you for being here.
So most people can't say there's somebody that literally saved your life.
Yeah. Thank you, Mayor.
Love that. Yes, sir. Thank you, Chief. Thank you. That's wonderful. Hard to follow up. But we do have a Yard of the Month presentation. So do we have the recipients here? Are they here?
Yep.
Okay, great. Is it Mr.
Pulse?
Pulse. Okay, great. Why don't you come up, Mr. Pulse? Because we have a little something for you as well. Do we have the sign? No? Oh, that's okay. No problem. Oh. While we're getting that, let me give you this here.
Good to see you, neighbor.
All right, so what you're seeing, this is the residence, and we can see your beautiful yard there. So, Mr. Pulse, thank you so much for taking such great care of your yard and making it so beautiful for our city to enjoy. And you're going to have a really nice sign. It's not, don't say for sale, don't worry. But this is your yard and the sign that we're going to give you. So let's take a quick picture, and then I'm going to give you something else. All right,
so. And how long have you owned the house now? In about 3-4 years?
Just 2 years.
2 years? And you've done all this an amazing amount of time. Some wonderful construction and work, and you're just a real craftsman.
Now you can't question how much water I use.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. One more thing. So he gets one of these put in, right? It's
yes,
not
sir.
This one. Okay. That's what I'm talking about. All right. So the Yard of the Month Award. We have a certificate for you. July 2024. Michael Pulse, 7941 Rio Vista Drive. Thank you for your outstanding contribution to help make the city of Woodway beautiful. So, here you go, sir.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you. Awesome.
And he's a very good neighbor, too.
Congratulations. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you, brother.
I'm so glad that we brought that back.
Yeah.
It's really fun. All right, Chief, you're back up here.
Yes,
presentation
sir.
By Public Safety regarding purchase of the replacement pumper fire truck.
The good part about having individuals around you who are know much more about it. So I will have Fire Marshal Captain Graves assist me. We also have a representative from Metro Fire here as well, Josh. So we are requesting the first, as y'all saw in the budget, requesting the first installment for our Unit 2 pumper to be replaced. It's $415,000, I believe, around there, the first installment for 3 years. And we want to do a presentation and let you know, obviously, what we're asking for, because it is a lot of money. And we want to make sure that the citizen, the community knows what our intent is and why we're asking for this at this time. So, Captain.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I appreciate this. First and foremost, I truly want to say thank you guys for your support. Without you guys, we couldn't do any of this. So we're going to talk about the Unit 2 fire truck. I'm not here to say anything bad about Unit 2. She's been great. But it's she's not as young as she used to be. Next slide, please. So that's her, Unit 2. It's a 1999 E1 with roughly about 25,000 hours on it. So the industry standard for hours to miles comparison per Ford, Pierce, Spartan, all of those guys is roughly 30 to 40 miles per each hour. So just some quick math that I did earlier so I didn't embarrass myself was about 875,000 miles on this truck. So she's had a good life. She's done a really great job. Plus, there's a National Fire Protection Association standard listed down there on the bottom that suggests a roughly 15 years of service frontline and then 5 years of service reserve. We've gone a little bit over that, but because of what we do here, we're able to make it work, and everything's been great. Next slide, please. First and foremost, I want to apologize for this photo. When I took this photo, I was kind of hanging upside down, so it didn't look as good as it did in person. But that's some rust. This truck, due to its age, was built mainly out of steel. You know, steel and water, they're not good bedfellows. But here we are. We got a lot of frame rust and pump rust. Everything is still working, but we fear there's some concerns. Coming up in the future, the new industry standard, everything is aluminum, everything is stainless, they last a little bit longer. We also got a little bit of engine weakness that we've dealing with here lately, but again, that's due to that, 25,000 hours that are on there. And again, if you guys have any questions, stop me, I'll ramble about this forever. Next slide, please. All right, so here we go. This was the engine one that we did in roughly 2020. We kind of want a clone of this truck. The way we respond and how we do stuff with our public safety model lends us to this type of apparatus. Works really good. Our guys do a great job with this type of truck. But basically, replacing Unit 2 with one of these, we're doubling our capabilities with Unit 2. It's got a larger tank, it's got a larger pump, it's got more foam, not to mention all of the safety equipment that's on there. LED lights, disc brakes, Lord knows we have to stop. Some of you guys that were at the parade, I apologize for the squealing brakes that we listened to from Unit 2. But hopefully we can head all that off at the pass there. And first and foremost, air conditioning. We got to have it. There it is. Any questions about those right there? I kind of blew through that pretty quick, but I want to keep my time under 3 minutes.
Oh, no, you're okay. This is a presentation. You're okay. I mean, we do have a long meeting tonight.
I'm trying to make it.
Yeah, we do have a long meeting.
But anyway, it's literally going to double what we currently have. That's ultimately what we're trying to do. This new truck will kind of replace two trucks, in essence. It's replacing a rescue truck and a pumper truck. The things that we're going to try to get onto this new truck, a light tower, extrication equipment, that type of stuff, will actually replace our rescue truck. But again, that lends more towards our public safety model. That's kind of what we're going for. Next slide, please. And there we go. I have a ton of information. If anybody wants to know anything, I also brought an expert. If anybody has any very specific questions, if not.
Well, I'm just going to ask.
Yeah.
We're talking about $1.4 million, 4.3 installments.
Roughly.
What was the cost of the truck 4 years ago?
Just under $700,000.
I was thinking it was something.
Yes.
In that
not equipped. Yeah.
Okay. This one's equipped.
We're trying to go to that. But if I'm being honest with you, we're kind of dealing with some emission stuff that could potentially rear its ugly head. So that's why we're trying to kind of get out in front of this as early as we can.
I didn't know if there was, inflation's hit everything. So is that just something that's 40% inflation?
And this is buy board pricing. It's the government contract. So you're absolutely right. What we've added to this request is a light tower. We've noticed a light tower that lifts up and lights the scenes. We've noticed in our current one does not have a light tower, and we've noticed that. So we have to use spotlights on fire scenes at night to see a good view of what we're doing. Our goal is to move away from the rescue truck. Today, right now, we have 5 trucks. We have E1, Unit 2, we have Unit 4, we have L1, the 100-foot ladder, and then we have the rescue truck, which is that pretty one that has the jaws of life. We are now moving to, it's lean and mean. I like to operate lean and mean. We eventually want to get rid of that truck, and that's why we're starting to add rescue tools to these trucks to where we don't have to operate the upkeep of another truck, the insurance of another truck, all that stuff, and never have to replace rescue, actually, ever again. So that's kind of our goal. What year is this Unit 2?
Unit 2 is a 99.
So we are past that 15 plus 5, 20 year. It is an 800-day build-out, correct? Estimated. So the good thing about starting, even if we got all 1.3 or 1.4 in this budget, it doesn't matter. We don't get it till another 800 days. So the way it's lining up, if we get 400, 400, 400, that first 400 locks us in to where they can start building it. We still get it in the same amount of time as if we made the whole payment right now. And we don't have to spend it all at one time. And we get to beat the emissions regulations that are coming.
He's trying to be nice
about it. It's about to get to a point where there's so many emissions regulations that it's going to up the price pretty considerably. And that's why we're trying to kind of get in right for that. When is the date that that's looking at?
So they're telling us it has to be in the engine itself, has to be in a frame rail tied to a VIN number by late 2025. So we're really...
And that takes time to build. So that's kind of why we've been working with them, talking to them, seeing how we can get in before that time frame and also get our department what it needs. And I think the ISO rating that we have requires pumpers, I believe,
right.
Two pumpers,
yes.
And that's why we have two pumpers.
So basically we're replacing two pieces of equipment.
Ultimately. Yeah, that's a conversation I want to have when we start talking about L1. It's been a long time. It's going to be very expensive. But, yes, for Unit 2, rescue is still utilized, and we still utilize it. But we are creating our rescue tools, the jaws of life and the cutters, are now we've actually got them handheld and battery-operated to where they no longer have to be attached to those hoses, so we can just turn them on. And those seconds, the golden hour, those seconds matter now. So we can have those. E1 already has those on that truck.
Correct.
So we're slowly phasing out that old technology of rescue.
We gonna go with the white paint job again, from the yellow.
Yes, sir. It's classic.
We don't have anything. Well, I guess a few are still yellow.
Yes, sir. We're slowly phasing those out. This and the good thing about this, I call it firefighter proof. it's going to be pretty much the same as E1, which is this one, the new one is. So if a firefighter knows how to operate one, he or she knows how to operate the other. So, and in those moments where adrenaline is pumping and your fingers feel like clubs, like it's good to have a uniformed approach to firefighting. That's why we're most wanting to clone this one, is because we want a uniform response. Remember, Unit 5 used to, you have to climb up to the top and
totally
operate
different.
It totally different than the other one. And then you'd be at a fire scene, and you're like, what truck am I driving? Like, yeah. So I know how to operate it.
Yeah.
Go
ahead. Yes, sir.
Not to get too far in the weeds, but what is our ISO rating right now? Do you know?
We're a 3.
You're a 3?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Highest what?
What's that, ISO rating?
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. And the reason why I ask that question, because the public may not understand what that means.
Yes, sir.
And when they say they recommend 2, how does that play into the management of public safety when it comes to Woodway?
Yeah, you want to answer that?
Let me start off by saying we have the best rating that we can have with the current model that we have. So until we go to a full-time staffing of a fire station that is staffed, then our ISO rating is as good as it can be. And if we're being honest, we just don't have that type of call volume to justify that currently. Plus, the guys are doing a phenomenal job of taking care of the calls as they happen with the staffing that we have on the street. But we're as good as we can get with everything else, with our dispatch, with our equipment, with everything like that. Until we cross over for staffing, we're kind of about it right now.
And that's an audit every year, correct? They come in?
Every couple of years.
Every couple of years, yes, and they check and make sure that our pumpers are operating, our pumpers up to date, and all that stuff.
So what potentially happens if we fall in our score?
Well, that'll drive up some insurance rates within your
citizens. You'll be getting calls.
There you go.
Why is my insurance rates high?
I wasn't for sure if we were going to go into that, but I...
we pay close attention to that audit every year.
Most people don't understand that. And so, when we as a community, when we look at buying apparatus, I show on Fleet Services.
And sure.
When we buy apparatus, it's twofold. One, we need to make sure we are capable of doing the job that we should be doing. And two, we need to make sure we have the equipment that can do the job that we should be doing.
Absolutely.
And there's a monetary cost for the public involved as well, because if our insurance rates start going up,
right,
you know, people are going to come to us and say, well, you know, not only is our home insurance, our property taxes going up, but our home insurance rates are going up as well.
Exactly.
And there is a nexus to that. So.
Yes, sir.
And they're going up without our help, so.
Any more questions for these guys?
Good job, guys.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, great job.
Thank you, Captain.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Relief. All righty. Item number 7 is the quarterly presentation, Community Services and Development's report regarding progress on new construction, anticipated completion dates, and the issuance of certificates of occupancy and inspection statistics for the third quarter of fiscal year 2024. Mr. Davison, hello.
Good evening, Council, Mayor, City Manager, Assistant City Manager, everybody. I'm going to be brief. It's not much to it, but in general, we're going to go over some pictures of different construction, and then if you have any questions at the end, I'll be more than welcome to help. Starting off, we have Charleston Park, which is down in the Old Cotton Crossing neighborhood, what one of the old-timers call the Old Golf Course neighborhood. There's pictures of that. I think the next slide is on Heather Run, so we're starting to see some more newer development down in that part of town, which has been lagging the last few years, so it's encouraging to see that home prices are still in demand and lots are still being built. The next slide should be Westlake Addition, which is our newest approved subdivision. It's a gated community down on off of Estates Drive going towards the lake. It's finished. The public streets, or their private streets, public improvements are all done. He's got lots for sale. I believe he's pulled one permit so far, so there's plenty of opportunity for growth, but it is ready to go. Stone Lake Drive, Stone Lake Circle, those are down in Lake Forest, phase 1 and 2, which is down on the lake. These are larger estate lots that are under construction. They're custom-built homes. They're going at a fairly steady pace. I wouldn't say that's fast, but certainly not slow. Next slide. Star Canyon is in Badger Ranch, phase 2. It's another large estate lot that they're filling in the larger lots out in Badger Ranch, so it's coming along nicely. Next slide is Tanglewood. Tanglewood Edition is one of our newer subdivisions. It's not new at this point. The Knowledge Drive, Sequoia Lane, Bootfield Court, these are all, you can kind of see the different stages of construction. There's construction. It's really taken off in this last year. You'll see a lot of newer homes under construction, and it's starting to fill up. Next slide, I believe, is more Tanglewood, Kings Canyon, Rainier, RW Court. These are the Kenai Drive and RW Court are the cottage homes. So they're smaller homes, a little more density. They're building them up pretty fast as well, and so we're certainly seeing a lot of inspections out there, so it's still going on well. Old McGregor Road is an infill lot. It's nearly finished, and so it's progressing well. Next slide, please. And then Bradford Square, Broughton Drive, and Rainbow Light Drive. These are what I would call old infill lots. They're older subdivisions that they've just been kind of sitting there, but they've sold and people are buying. The one on Broughton's actually, I believe it's a family inherited the house and they're flipping it over and starting new. So these are all progressing really well. And so these are more commercial lots. Jordan Lane is, I'm sure everybody's seen it down here on Jordan Lane behind Dutch Brothers, the best place. It's slated to be a restaurant. We don't have a name for one yet, but that's what they're building it for. Burnett Court is the eye clinic. If you're driving down the frontage road, you'll see it. It's nearly done. They're in the, I believe, the finish out phase at this point on that one, and they still got to do landscaping, obviously, from that picture. The tattoo shop on Woodway Drive is finally got going in the last couple of months. We've seen a lot of it get finished out. They had a kind of a shell of a building there for a long time, and it's finally moving forward. Magnolia Soap is over there beside Starbucks. They are in the final phases of that. They should be in their CO within the next month, tops. Next slide, please. I believe the quarterly figures are attached that show all of our inspections that we've done in the last quarter. With that being said, I'll answer any questions y'all might have.
On the tattoo parlor, of course, they're still in the process of doing all the stuff, but I remember whenever we approved it, they were supposed to do a berm or a plant, you know, something.
Yes.
There. Did they get an adjustment or they just hadn't got to
that yet? They shouldn't have. They have not got to that yet. Yes. I mean, I don't recall them getting an exception for the berm requirement. That will have to be part of their landscaping.
Yeah, I just didn't see it yet, but no. I didn't know if it just hadn't got there. Okay, that was it.
Any other questions for community services?
Thank you for your time.
Mitch, thank you. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, item number 8, quarterly presentation from the Public Safety Department's report regarding crime statistics and law enforcement activities in the third quarter of 2024.
I'm sorry, buddy. Apologize. Okay, part of our continued professional development, I wanted to introduce Corporal Detective Christopher Fagner. 8 years of experience with our department, promoted to detective about a year ago, doing a phenomenal job, and he's going to be assisting me with presenting the numbers.
Good, sir. All right. Well, first, you see a bunch of pictures up here. We'll talk about those first. We like to take a lot of pictures. Off to the left, the first picture over there, you see a couple of guys hovering over a basket. This is a Stokes basket, and they're ropes. We've just started a new ropes rescue team. Four officers went to that training. They're looking to implement a lot of that training and bring that training back to our department so the other officers can learn and we can implement that in our daily use. Next picture over to the right is there's two officers. There's Officer Rivas and Bucknum there. That's the Police Academy graduation. You see several other officers were in attendance for that. We'll move over to the right now. This was just community engagement. There was a lemonade stand set up that several of the officers that were working patrol that day, they went over to stop by and grab a refreshment, and just good to engage with the community there. And we're going to move to the picture off to the right. This is Officer Canister. He's been with our department, I believe, about a year now, a little over a year now. He just attended the Fire Academy, and that's him at the graduation. He received honors for top cadet in the Fire Academy graduation. Really good officer. He's doing a great job. Below that is Officer Hilliard. This was an April Fool's post that we made. he's posting there with a little goat, and it's kind of a joke that we had that day. We just introduced this goat as our narcotics sniffing canine. So just a little fun on Facebook, and it got some good engagement. Last photo down bottom left is you can see E1, what we were just talking about, the fire truck. This was the water day at Woodway Elementary. The officers went over and assisted with that, and you can see they pulled the hose out and were spraying water on all the kids, and they had a great time. Again, that's just part of the community engagement that we do here at Woodway, and it's such a big part of the community. Now we'll move on to the statistics. So this would be for this quarter as well as this quarter last year in 2023. So number one is police calls for service is down from 5,774 to 3,546. Also down in correlation to that is reports taken down from 151 to 99. Online solicitation stayed at zero. Good. Burglary is down from 2 to 0. That's a good number we like to see as zero there. Sex crimes as well this year is zero. It was at 1 last year. Our thefts are down from 34 to 24, and that's a big one as well. Thefts and burglaries, we like to see those lower. And I think that's part of an initiative that we started here beginning of the quarter, and Chief will talk about that here in just a moment. Traffic accidents are up slightly from 44 to 50. Fire and EMS calls have gone up slightly as well from 374 to 427. Our violation of city ordinance calls, whether that be dog at large, high grass, brush, that has gone down as well. Arrests in correlation to the police calls for service is down as well from 115 to 99. Our assaults are down from 8 to 7. Our traffic stops are down from 1,862 to 1,085. Citations down from 619 to 400, and the weapons violations are down from 4 to 3. And you see the bar graph down to the bottom. That's a list of the top four offenses each quarter. And you can see last year was larceny, driving under the influence, drugs, narcotics violations, and simple assault. Been a slight change this quarter of this year. Leading with drug narcotics violations, all other larceny and destruction, damage, and vandalism, and shoplifting. So, I think the only thing that dropped off from the top four was the driving under the influence, and now we've added shoplifting. So, and that goes in line with the theft initiative, with our theft numbers dropping out that Chief will talk to you about here in just a second.
Perfect. So I'm sure a lot of y'all have seen that, and we just wanted to show it to the community who may not be on Facebook or next door. We were voted the 33rd safest city in Texas this last year. The 2023 ranking was 75. We didn't do anything to, as far as like put in for it or pay for this or anything like that. This was given to us. SafeWise looks at the Uniform Crime Report, looks at the FBI Crime Report, and also looks at specific cities within Texas who, and then their crime, and compare them and come up with this list. I will say only city, I'm going to toot our horn here, only city in McLean County, and also a lot of these other cities on the border up there don't share borders with two of the most dangerous cities in Texas. So we are working hard to keep Woodway as one of the safest cities in McLean County and the safest city in Texas. Next slide, please. So we started an initiative, as Corporal Fagner was talking about. We're kind of nerds, and we look at numbers, and we see, hey, I've talked to you about this before, where's the biggest bubble, right? Where's the biggest thefts occurring? Where's the biggest accidents occurring? We do this every quarter, every 6 months. We try to see how can we improve, because good is never good enough. And we found out, which we thought was the case, that I call it the theft triangle. You have CVS and Walgreens and HEB is where a majority of our thefts occur. So as simple as speaking to the officers and saying, hey, let's go increase our foot patrols. Let's increase our vehicle drives through the parking lots in this area. Let's just increase our presence. Put some stickers in your pockets. Go, you know, kiss some babies. Just, you know, be present and let people see you and see what happens. And we saw a stark decrease in thefts in comparison to the same quarter last year. Now, that doesn't happen. I've been doing statistics for 15 years now, and that doesn't happen unless you do something to make it happen. 30% drop is not normal. Also, a result, and I'm sure you all saw the moral of the story on Facebook for the theft that occurred in progress in the parking lot of HEB. We're able to stop them, and that's again because our officers were very close to the parking lot. They were in the parking lot when running out of the store when our officer spotted them, They were caught, or he was caught and taken to jail for theft and also some narcotics that he was carrying. So that was just a highlight of an initiative we took. We're going to continue to do it. But as you can see, initiatives like these, it's funny how you see the seesaw. Traffic stops go down because we're down doing initiatives like these, but then the accidents go up. So then you're like, where's, you know? So it's fun to do the initiatives and see where we can find a good balance to continue to improve our community. So just wanted to share that with you. Any questions for Corporal Fagner to answer?
We're doing great. Thank you so much.
Well, we appreciate the support.
I saw somewhere that Woodway was ranked somewhere in the 30s as one of the best places to retire in the nation. I wish I would have pulled that, but I kind of wonder if the police, you know, the safer city and the size and so many other places helps us be the retirement. Nice.
Keep finding those. I like those ones. Those are good ones. Thank you, sir. All right, thank you.
That's great. Thank you, gentlemen. Great, great job. And last year we were 75 on that list.
Yes, sir.
And we jumped up to 33.
Yes.
So.
Because we got the right guys.
Just that is
chief of police.
Oh, you're amazing. Kind. You're kind. Hopefully nothing will happen.
Okay. Item number 9 is our semi-annual presentation on the Carling Bright Arboretum and Pavilion. This is their report on regarding repairs, improvements, attendance, and programming for the previous 6 months. So, is that Jack? All right. Hi, Mr. Jack.
All right. Good evening. All right. I'm going to be a little more stoic tonight because my co-workers over here say I'm a tough act to follow, so I'm going to cut a little bit of the humor out and make it easier for them. But first of all, I want to congratulate Mr. Surrey and Ms. Cook and the mayor. I wasn't here at the last meeting, so congratulations on y'all's new post. And I wanted to also start out, my wife's a real estate agent, and last night I can't get her in bed before 2 a.m. She finally came to bed, and this morning there was something she found, and it was from the San Antonio, mysanantonio.com, and it was written by Steven Santana, a digital reporter for that organization. And the title was Top Texas Towns to Buy a Home in 2024. So I flipped back and I started going through the list. Number 2, City of Woodway, he chose. So if you haven't seen that article, if you want it, I'll send it to the city manager, assistant city manager, if you want to. But that kind of piggybacks off what David Russell said at the start about loving the city and what Khalil said with the crime statistics. I think it just all comes together. Yeah. It's just a good place to be, and that's all of you and all of the people behind me. Just real quick, we're good. Not, is there a slide there? Do I? I'm looking at the timer.
You got time. It's okay.
I'm trying not to make them laugh. So here I am, right here. All right. First of all, a quick update. Restrooms at the children area. The restroom is in production, like we need our fire truck to get in production, but it's in production. We had the electrical run from the back of Whitehall up through the children's area. For the 100-amp panel that goes on the back. That's complete. The sewer, they came, they roughed in everything, and Mitch's guys with Nathan and Jordan, they came in, tapped into our sewer line. The plumbing company came in, got it all tied in, roughed in, got the water ready to hook up. Mitch's guys got the water meter set. So all we're doing now is waiting on the restroom. Once it gets here, Wales Crane will come in, set. It's like the park restrooms. Mm-hmm. The one good different thing about this is it is air conditioned and heated, and there's a water fountain attached, and it's going to allow children that are playing up there on the splash pad to not come running down the hill into Whitehall, mm-hmm. because our what we're going to do in the future, Whitehall's have more activities in there, so there will be less disruption. So everybody we talked to out there, the moms, they can't wait. Mm-hmm. Number two, the bird viewing area. It's the same bird viewing area, but what we wanted to do is take it to another level. We moved a shed down there to block off one side of the bird blind. Then we created another wall. Then we wrapped around, you'll see a picture in a minute, of a, it's kind of like a deck where you can look out into the ravine and the wooded area and look at warblers and cardinals and all the different birds that come through there. We put out new feeders, new hummingbird feeders, and all of the plants we put in that old meditation garden are perennial, and they're all pollinators, and they all attract bees, butterflies, birds, all of that type of stuff. So if you hadn't been out there to see that, that's my favorite area. So it is complete. Spring planting, we had our spring planting done at the end of March into the first week of April. It's complete. If you haven't been out there, there are beautiful plants out there. Two things we did do this year, instead of going with the smaller plats of lots of hundreds of different little plants, we went with the 1 gallon, 2 gallon, under recommendation of the person that planted it, the nursery, and she said that would help combat against the drought we have in, you know, every summer. I said two things. That was number one. And number two, everything we planted out there this spring is deer-resistant plants. We haven't had one plant eaten yet. So it took us a couple of years to figure it out. The potato vine, don't put it out there. It's gone. So, but anyway, it looks really nice. Now it's time to battle the water and staying up on that. Where the sewer company came through the back, they took out about 150-foot path all the way back to the ravine and towards the residential area. We have planted the seedling trees that we talked about last year. They're coming up slowly. We put some wild Texas native flowers in there. They're coming up. And we still have the irrigation running back there. We have to keep water for 2 years. But we did clear the back road, and this is going to be advantageous for Lindsay and her crew to, if you're having an outdoor wedding at the gazebo, trucks can come back there and unload tables and chairs, or if you have a concert or whatever, instead of trying to walk them downstairs or a long distance. So it's ready to go, and you'll see a picture. The tea house, most people say, what is that? It's the old gazebo in the very, very back of the trail. When we had the 18 to 19 inches of rain in May, we set a record. The part of the ravine began to wash away. A tree fell, and you had about 2.5 feet washed out underneath the tea house. So we had discussions. Do you tear it down? Do you move it? What do you do? You can't get in there and reinforce the embankment. You can't do it. So we got with Mitch, and Mitch got with John. John got with Rodney, and Rodney got, he's the magician, and he got his loader in there, his skid steer, and he was able to take this huge thing and move it and turn it and put it on the end of the path and save it. So really, really a good job on Mitch's group. Children's area additions. Some of y'all might notice, I don't know if you do, but the chessboard's gone. Well, chessboard was a problem. It was. I don't think one game of chess was ever played on it in a year and a half. But the kids would play swords. They'd throw them over the fence. They'd break them. We'd fix them and this and that. And so I had an idea, no more chess. So first I priced it, but it was like, for that size set, it's like $1,400-$1,500, and you're watching them play swords with it. So we had that taken out. We added some more cornhole, tetherball, hula hoops, balls, Connect Four. There's a lot of little activities for the young kids to play with. So I don't think we lost much there. Whitehall programming, Lindsay will talk a little bit more about that with Madison. They've got some good ideas going. I'm going to piggyback back to the bird viewing area. I did talk to a lady today from the Audubon Society, trying to get them back out here. She's the outreach coordinator. She passed my name along to the president, and I'm waiting on that call. They donate seed. They'll come out and fill bird feeders and water, and so we're going to try to get that bond that was here in the past before we shut down for the sewer project. And other than that, I can't think of anything right now. Anybody have any questions?
Tell us a little bit more about when you're going to close down and what parts are going to be closed down, the whole arboretum or just a section?
When we're closed down for?
The sewer.
The sewer. Well, when we were closed down, is that what you're talking about in the past?
Did you say you're going to close
down? No, I was reflecting back.
Stage two.
Yeah, we're past that. We're fully, other than making any adjustments or changes the council or city manager wants or whatever, we're full steam ahead.
Awesome. Thank you, Jack.
Anybody have a question?
Great.
See, that's easy to follow.
No pressure.
That's what 34 years of teaching and coaching.
Thank you so much. Great job.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Great to see you all again. I am Lindsay Gomez. If I haven't had the pleasure to meet you, I'm the Event and Tourism Superintendent. Hope you all had a happy 4th of July. So if you can go ahead and go to the next slide, please. Just a few things for the Pavilion at Discover Woodway. We did have to replace our AC unit above the pavilion. We have been battling that for the past 4 years, pretty much since I've been here. A lot of money going into repairing that, and it was about a loss, so we did have to replace that. It did eat up a good chunk of our buildings and grounds budget. I know Brenda's going to touch on that a little bit later, but we wanted to make sure that it was repaired before all of our summer events coming in, so now we're good to go. We have AC. Every bride will be very happy to be cool inside of there. Next, we have the father and daughter dance. It was sold out again this year in about 4 hours. So that was our new record for us. After some decision making, we have decided to expand that to 2 weekends. So the first and second Saturday of February, we are going to have 2 father-daughter dances. I do expect both of them to be sold out this year, especially with the demand that we've been getting from the community. So excited about that. But this year it was disco themed. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of dancing involved. Rio Brazos Catering came in, had some delicious food, and then Wall of Sound was our DJ for that event. Next, we have the Woodway Farmers Market. That has been a raging success. Everybody is raging about it. They love it. We are going to move it inside for the summer. We have had some requests about that. We have the dates available in our calendar for the Sundays, so we are going to move that inside. Right now, we have about 18 vendors signed up, 3 food trucks for this next one, and then live music as well. With it being inside, we're going to be very cautious about the noise, make sure it's still quiet enough for all of the vendors to be able to communicate with their customers. And then, let's see, next we have their solar eclipse. That was a very unique and fun experience. I loved being out there with my team. We brought out 5 different food trucks. It was crowded. It was amazing in the most amazing way. We had people from Spain, the Netherlands, Canada, Japan. It was just amazing. It really was. Then we had Arbo Fest. Unfortunately, it did rain this year, so we kind of just put our brains together, decided to move everything inside of Whitehall and the pavilion. Worked out great. We still had a great turnout. I want to say it was about 750 people, maybe a little bit more, but we had live music. The vendor fair was inside the pavilion, lots of activities, crafts, and we had a great time working with some local partners on that. Let's see, mother-daughter brunch was sold out again this year as well. It was Mamma Mia themed. We had live music from Holly Tucker. It was great having her there. Everybody loved it. We had a flower bouquet bar, which was a lot of fun, crafts. And then Rio Brazos was back again with some delicious food. And then I'm not sure if Jimmy's going to be touching on this, but we did do a new event, the Mother-Son Pajama Jam. We hosted that over at the Family Center in partnership. We did karaoke, dodgeball, video game trailers, face painting. We had pizza from Shorty's Pizza. Love having them just down the road. And then Kane's was gracious enough to donate some drinks to us as well. We had a little over 90 guests for that event. So we're looking forward to expanding on that one. And then programming inside of Whitehall, we are going to kick that off with a new camp, the Arboretum Explorers Camp. I know that's something that was done in the past. I wasn't around for it, so we kind of wanted to reimagine it, start off with a camp. We are expecting about 15 to 20 campers this first year. It's going to be touching on topics of nature conservation, so including topics like plant cycle, water cycle, insects, animals, recycling, all that good stuff. We are we're going to have a partnership with the Texas A&M Forestry team, and then, of course, our very knowledgeable staff is going to be in on that as well. And then we're excited to expand the programming from there inside of Whitehall. We have some ideas for, like, watercolor classes, some other maybe bird watching sessions, so we are going to expand on that. And then the last thing, social media following, it has increased. We are over 3,000 followers on our Discover Woodway Instagram. I think this has a lot to do with our Baylor activations that we've been a part of, but I think it's really been a big push on the hotels that we have here, really pushing the 7 great hotels we do have. A lot of Baylor parents are coming in for a lot of activities that are going on. So that's been our biggest focus with that. And then if you'll go to the next slide, I have a few pictures for y'all. So from the top left, those first two are the father-daughter dance. It was a lot of fun. And then you will see on the left side, that is from the solar eclipse. The middle three are from ArboFest. So we had yoga outside on the patio. We had music inside with the vendor fair. And then in Whitehall, we had lots of arts and craft activities. And then the bottom left, that is from the mother-daughter brunch. That is Holly Tucker singing, and then a picture of a family with the bouquet bar. And then the bottom two are from the father-son event. They were at the concession stand bar where they got some popcorn and candy. And then we have a family out there with their face painting and doing the video games outside. Next, please. Do you have any questions for me?
You do such an incredible job.
Thank you.
And I asked you this earlier, but just so it is out there.
Yes.
I've been asked about concerts.
Yes, so we are going to start doing concerts again. We had a little bit of a change in our team, so we're looking forward to bringing back some summer concert series next year. We do have a lot of fun activities with, like, live music at the farmers market, but we do want to have, like, a focus on good concerts happening. So bringing on a lot of local artists is what I personally would really enjoy doing. We have a lot of great talent in the area. We have used one band, for example, is Suede. If you haven't heard of them, they're amazing. I would definitely give them a listen. They're like a live jazz funk band. And they came to our All Hallows Groove back in October. And then we had them back again for ArboFest. A little loud because it was inside, but it was fun to have them back again.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Anything else for Lindsay? All right, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Good job.
Thank you, Lindsay. Thank you, Jack. Great, great events. All right, moving on to item number 10. This is our semi-annual presentation from the Woodway Family Center. This is their report regarding repairs, improvements, attendance, construction, and programming for the previous 6 months.
So. Mayor, Council, thank you all for allowing me to present tonight. Despite what Jack says, it's always a tough act to follow those two and all the other presenters. It's been really good tonight. So talking about the Family Center, you can go ahead and go to the next slide. So as you know, April 1st, we opened the doors to the new building. We had our open house for seniors, had about 38 people show up for that. It was a really good event, offered coffee and bagels, and it was a lot of good conversation. On Saturday, April 6th, we held our grand opening. We had about 50 people attend the actual ceremony and then an additional 30 or so joining for playtime and just touring the building. So talk to you about attendance, senior programming. I'm not going to read every one of those to you, but want to highlight a few things. Obviously, you see the totals for each month. May did increase over April, but then we saw a drop off in June. Not worried about that. It's a lot of vacationing. So we saw some of that decline. We also had one of our partners take a month-long vacation, so we did not hold some of the best classes, which are the strength and stretch, chair yoga, pickleball 101. She has a very big draw, and so we didn't have her in June, so those numbers did decrease. But year-to-date, we have seen, through June, 1,646 folks participate in those activities, the largest portion of that being pickleball with 1,134. Some of the classes that have zeros, I want to point out, those weren't because no one came. Some of those were only offered in certain months. But we did have some months that we didn't have anybody for cards and games in May. That's been one of the least attracted or least attended function. Same thing with dominoes and bingo's gaining some traction. We're starting to get some followers and some regulars, so I have a feeling that we'll see that one pick up. But most of the classes that are being attended are the ones that we've gotten great partners to teach. Matter of Balance is by the Area Agency on Aging. Better at Last with Dr. Jingles. Estate Planning, it doesn't have a lot, but that is we only had it in 2 months. But that is a very, very beneficial. So when I hear people coming out of that class, they are really enjoying that information. What am I missing? You can definitely see when Van Davis is not in town. You can tell. All right, go ahead, next slide. So our partners, I want to talk a lot about them. So one thing I learned in the months leading up to open when visited a lot of senior centers was to make it successful is to make great partnerships. So I want to highlight a few of those. Van Davis talked about her. If you haven't met her, you do need to meet her. She is full of energy, and I want her around every day. She's amazing. Her nonprofit is called Be Awesome Now, and she's teaching three classes, Strength and Stretch, Chair Yoga, as well as Pickleball 101. I'm going to also be partnering with her to do some ladder leagues for pickleball, some tournaments for pickleball. So you'll start to see some of those likely starting in September. The next partner, Dr. Jingles, she has a nonprofit called Better at Last, and what an amazing group. Family Center got to participate with her at their conference they held. It was called Protect Yourself, which was a conference that was just designed to help seniors protect themselves from all the threats and all the targeting that happened with that age group. So we went to the Waco Convention Center and helped her at that at that conference. Heather White has been our art instructor, getting lots of rave review. The DMA trip, the Dallas Museum of Art trip, was very successful, and everybody who attended has said nothing but great things and are ready to do it again. The Law Office of Rainey and Rainey, who've always been a sponsor for the Family Center throughout the years, they've really come in and helped us with the senior law-related programming, and they're doing a great job. Also, the Heart of Texas Council of Governments, the Matter of Balance class is a grant-funded program through them. So that's another great partner, as well as the Area Agency on Aging and the Department of Health and Human Services. Next slide, please. So I want to highlight resident versus non-resident. So this is a question that I keep getting asked through the first 3 months of being open. 51% of our participants reside in Woodway. With another 49% residing outside of Woodway. This is not 100% complete representation because we weren't taking a zip code at the very beginning, so we didn't get everything captured when we opened. I also think that some people don't want to give us their zip code, so we don't have where they're coming from. My next comment there was implementing some kind of registration membership type software. That'll help me in a lot of ways, track and give better data, but also secure data, especially waivers, and give me a process that I can use to keep that information safe and secure, but also readily available if and when needed. So we're going to be looking into some software that's user-friendly for folks to sign up so they don't have to write in. They can just type their phone number, push the button what class they're attending that day, and go on to their class. So I think I mentioned all the highlights. So next slide, please. Some of the marketing things. While I have it up, anybody in the audience would like to take a picture of the QR codes. These are for our senior page, our senior Facebook page. We created a new one so that we could separate the information so it was just cleaner and easier to get to. Also, our Facebook page for seniors as well. So have those two up and running, and they look great. We're mailing out the programming calendar with the water bills. I think that has single-handedly been a big way for us to reach our neighbors and tell them about what we're doing. Of course, we print the copies and hand them out. We have people that just want to come up and talk. We talk to them about what we have going on, and they take those with them. We did get mentioned by Van Davis on Good Morning America. So she gave us a great shout out about our programming. And then there's been articles with the Crib, Hooray for Families. We were featured in May on Hooray for Families. Other various news articles have been published as well. So that's our marketing since we've opened. Next slide, please. And then here's just an example of some of the social media ads that we've run. We use these social media also in banners on our Facebook page, on our website, the reader boards. So these are just some examples of what we're using. Next slide. Into youth programming attendance, and I apologize, I don't have a year-to-date column here. So year-to-date, we have seen 1,125 young participants in our programming. That number is still somewhat low from what past 16, 17, 18 years we're seeing before COVID. Being closed for 4 years, we do need to build up our market share and get that going. So we're going to try to partner with Woodway Elementary PTA, get in the schools, pass out flyers about everything that we're doing, and especially looking to do that when the school year starts, and we'll start to see those numbers improve. But everything on that page is as I expected. There have been, we made some changes to our summer programming, so June did see daytime clinics versus evening clinics. You learn sometimes. We didn't see as many participants in those daytime clinics. I think that most parents are looking for either full days or half days versus a couple of hours. So we may go back to evenings when parents are off and see those attendance, those numbers come up some. Open Gym opened in June. We had 366 participants come through Open Gym, which is huge. In the history of Open Gym at the Family Center, we have not seen anywhere close to that. And so that has been a very popular time. It's packed most days. We did have several party rentals through those months and several facility rentals, and I do get questions all the time for, we want to rent your gym, we want to do our practice, we want to do our all of that. So I would expect to see those continue, if not increase. On the bottom there, 45% of participants for youth programming are Woodway residents, and 55% were non-residents. That is on par with what I see data from the past. I don't have a lot of good data on who was from where before we went to the software that we have now. So, but that's pretty accurate. That's tracking well. Next slide. An example of some of the youth marketing that we're doing. We're putting yard signs out for our leagues. We have banners going on the park fences and social media, Facebook. Word of mouth for both senior and youth marketing is probably the best. We do we have a monthly ad going in the Hooray for Families, and that reaches a lot. Really not so much for their print format, but for their digital format, because they do a great job of getting that information out there. Their emails go out weekly about what's coming up, so we get lots and lots of mentions in there. Next slide. Again, QR codes for our youth marketing, Facebook and website. You can go ahead and go to the next one. I've already mentioned most of that. So what's happening, again, we have new summer hours going June 1st to August 31st. We have open gym starting at 1 o'clock to 5, Monday through Friday. That's going to change a little bit. We do need to clean that gym floor a little more regularly, so we need to close it down. So we'll be on Wednesdays closing at 4, and then also with different rentals going on and different events, we may shut it down earlier or open it up a little later. But that is open gym is going really well. The 17 and younger must be accompanied by an adult. I have had lots of Baylor students wanting to come in. They've heard about the open gym. Unfortunately, we're not allowed. We're not allowing that. Just the age disparity. We don't want 3- and 4-year-olds playing along. Some adults trying to win a championship out there. So. Senior pickleball did move from 8 to 1. I have yet to hear anyone voice the concern about that change. We already saw that after lunch, most of the pickleball was complete. That by 11:30, we usually empty out. And the only people we saw after 1 o'clock were the ones that want to play, just 4 people, my friends. So they would come back when they knew the place would be less crowded. But that group was very understanding and didn't have any issue with it. I want to mention this at the Parks and Rec meeting. Under pickleball, 55 and better, that's our new mantra for describing our senior population instead of some of the other verbiage we've used. 55 and better, really thought that expressed a better way of advertising. So a couple things that we've done. We had staff participated with mother-daughter brunch with Lindsay and her team. Also the mother-son pajama jam, which happened at the family center, which was a good time. Lots of folks enjoyed karaoke and dodgeball for sure. I talked about the Protect Yourself Conference. That was another event we participated in. July, we have actually it's already today was day one for art clinic. We are having that at Whitehall Center, so we are utilizing that space as well during the day. We held previously a tech club in there, which was focusing on it was a Shark Tank. So that was a very new program. So we had 14 kids in there learning how to be sharks and how to promote a product that they invented and how to market it. And then they had to sell it to the panel of judges. So that was a really fun one. So we also have another tech club in July that will be happening in a couple weeks. Tonight started the first day of games for basketball. We also have a soccer clinic. It's not on there. Soccer clinic is going on right now. So the parking lot is full in the back. I apologize if you could not find a parking spot. Next slide. So more of what's coming next. Again, we're going to be looking into software for registration. Again, it's for the data collection, so we have good data and understand who's coming to see us, but also data security. We need to step into the 21st century with that. The family center's kind of always operated on an honor system. If you say your kid's nine, your kid's nine. We don't verify those things. If you say you live in Woodway, we don't verify those things. So with all the things going on, I've had to ask a 30-something-year-old that they can't come in during senior pickleball hour, and then again, 18-year-olds coming for open gym. So this will help me with validating all that and giving us some security. We're also looking into grants and additional sponsors to offset some of the programming costs, as well as future programming and equipment. I will be bringing to next council meeting a presentation on sponsors, so I'm excited about that. Wasn't able to get everything buttoned up before this one, but we'll have another presentation for you next month. And then we'll have more senior and youth league sponsors coming. I think that's it. Go ahead, next slide. Yeah, any questions?
Jimmy, good job. Really like the numbers that I'm seeing for the 3 months that you've been open. So great on that. Please keep pushing the marketing and make sure that everybody is aware of all the great things you're doing.
Will do.
Very, very impressive numbers.
Thank you all.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Ask the mayor if I could hijack the meeting for just a moment and say, just since we do have so many of our department heads and our support staff in the room that have given good presentations, they run a tight ship. They really do look for ways to improve. They're always thinking outside the box. And I know a lot of folks come and, oh, good job, but I can't do the good job if it wasn't for these people. I couldn't give you the actionable and timely information that you ask for. Not for these men and women here. So you are appreciated. Thank you for all that you do, truly. And good job.
Okay, thank you all very much for those great presentations. We're going to move on now to our public hearings. Item 11A is the public hearing on a request from Paul Wilcox for a special use permit for home occupation, FFL, for ammunition production at 7709 Delhi, Woodway, Texas. Yes, sir. Are you here to speak on the public hearing?
Yes, sir. That's me, sir.
That's you?
I didn't know if you need me up here. I can come sit down if you want.
No, hang tight. Stay right there. I'm going to open the public hearing, Ms. Barkley, at 6:44. At this time, is there anybody to speak on this item? So, Mr. Wilcox, you'll be our first one. So welcome, sir. If we could just get your your name and address for the record, please.
Yes, sir. Council members, thank you very much for having me. My name is Paul Wilcox. I live at 7709 Delhi Road, right here in Woodway, Texas. I don't know if how many of you are familiar with ATF and ATF regulations. Whenever you fill out their stringent paperwork, you need an address. Not necessarily where you're actually conducting business and manufacturing weapons or small arms or anything like that. That is my intent, is just to use my home as an address. All the manufacturing, all of my storage, everything else will be done out at a ranch in McGregor, where I partnered with a suppressor company. That's pretty much it. It's really easy, just an address to put down on a piece of paper. We tried to send a letter out to the ranch in McGregor from Woodway. It took 11 days. So if any of you know about timeliness of paperwork and doing your due diligence, well, some of that stuff is time sensitive and needs to be done not in 11 days, more like 24 hours, 3 days, 4 days, things like that. So the address here in Woodway would provide that for me, but all manufacturing and processing would be done in McGregor.
Thank you, sir.
If I may, just to add to what Mr. Wilcox is saying.
Do we want to cover them the next item when we have some? Great. Thank you, Mr. Wilcox.
Yes, sir.
Is there anybody else to speak on this item? We're in the public hearing time now.
I would like to.
Yes, ma'am. Please come up to the podium. Thank you. Michael Hayburn, can you adjust the mic for her, please, if you don't mind?
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am, if we could just get your name and address, please.
Yes. My name is Sue Sellers, and my husband and I reside at 7724 Delhi Road, and I've been a resident of Woodway for 40-plus years. And I'm not here to cause any trouble in the neighborhood, but I did have a couple of questions that I would like to ask of Mr. Wilcox. And one of them, I did understand that he said that none of the ammunition would be stored at your house at any time.
Absolutely not, ma'am.
Okay. That's one good thing. And that will answer my other questions right there.
Okay.
So thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you for coming.
Anybody else to speak on this item, please? Okay, it doesn't look like there's anybody else, so I'll close the public hearing at 6:47 p.m. Thank you very much. Item 11B is discussion and consider action on the request from Paul Wilcox for a special use permit for home occupation, FFL, for ammunition production at 7709 Delhi, Woodway, Texas. Could I have a motion to discuss, please?
I'll make a motion.
And second.
It's moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. City Manager, your comments.
Thank you, Mayor. I was just going to add that this is the second public hearing that has been on this item. The first one, there's two required. The first one goes to planning and zoning. After they hear it, then it goes to council. They send out letters notifying all residents within 200 feet of that address. And as of until this meeting, we've had no responses received.
Great. Thank you, sir.
And the other comments I was going to make, Mr. Wilcox addressed already.
Okay, perfect. Council, I think you heard from Mr. Wilcox already, but none of the ammunition is going to be stored in city limits. All of his manufacturing is done off-site somewhere else. I personally don't have a problem with it. I think I would have a problem with it if it was in city limits just for safety concerns, but I don't see that as being an issue now. He's complying with the ATF. So with that being said, does anybody have any questions for Mr. Wilcox while we've got him? Any questions for staff? There being none, I'll just go ahead and entertain a motion for...
I'll make a motion that we approve the request for a special use permit for a home occupation FFL for ammunition production at 7709 Delhi, Woodway, Texas.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. Thank you. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it. The motion carries unanimously. Thank you all very much.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Moving on to item number 12, this is discussion and consider action on adopting ordinance 24-06, amending the 23-24 annual budget to appropriate $90,000 of unbudgeted revenues in the utility fund and $32,941 in the CBA Pavilion Operations Fund to the following departments: $90,000 to water and $32,941 to the Carling Bright Arboretum. Motion to discuss, please.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. Manager, any comments on number 12, please?
Thank you, Mayor. Just a few. So you have an ordinance before you because as we adopt the budget by ordinance, we also amend it by ordinance, which I'm sure everybody's familiar with. Not trying to insult anyone's intelligence, but that is the reason
we need
for that.
That sometimes.
You know? And as you also know, we've had a lot of things break over the last year. So this is basically just to true up our budget as we move through the year. We'll do a few of these as we move out of this fiscal year and into our, before we begin our next one. I do have all of the costs associated with these repairs. I believe they're all in your packets, but just to reiterate this, there was wells went down, pumps went down, air conditioning units have failed, and it's just been a litany of good news for those two budgets. So unless there's any questions for me, or if Brenda, if you need her to elaborate on anything, we are here.
I was trying to figure out what the Waco Carbonic $8,196 is. Did they do AC work? Or?
Yes, sir.
It was hard to read. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Councilman Russell. Yes, that was an ice machine replacement at the pavilion.
That makes sense. Okay.
Sure.
I was just trying to think.
Yes, with our rentals, it's included in our package.
That makes sense. I was just trying to figure out what did they do.
And it wasn't the nicest invoice they submitted, but we scanned in what we got.
Yeah, and that's about the cost of a large ice maker.
So you're asking for us to move these funds to cover the expenses that have already been incurred for these repairs?
And yes, sir. And those accounts are listed out in your your itemized sheet.
Just a true up of bookkeeping, basically.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And it also states that the utility fund and the Arboretum Pavilion Operations Fund have exceeded projected revenues, which is
So it's not a deficit spending or anything.
Okay, great. If there are no further questions, I'll entertain a motion on this item, please.
I'll make a motion to approve ordinance 24-06.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Thank you. I'll read the ordinance before we call for the vote. Ordinance 24-06 is an ordinance of the City of Woodway, Texas, adopting amendment number 1 to the budget of the City of Woodway, Texas for its fiscal year 23-24 by providing detailed line increases, by making supplemental appropriations, and by declaring this a matter of grave public necessity, providing for severability, and providing for the effective date thereof. All those in favor of the motion to adopt ordinance 24-06, please say aye.
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 All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it. The motion carries unanimously, and we are adopting ordinance 24-06. Very good. Thank you, Council. Item 13 is discussion and consider action on acceptance of the application to develop in a planned district, a recreation complex, Lot 3, Block 7, Oak Ridge Addition, City of Woodway, McLennan County, Texas, located at 101 Ritchie Road. Could I get a motion to discuss, please?
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. Manager, number 13.
Thank you, Mayor. We do have our representative from CPNY here. That applicant has submitted an application to develop in a planned district. It's a recreation complex for Lot 3, Block 7, Oak Ridge Addition to the City of Woodway, McLennan County, Texas, located at 101 Ritchie Road. City staff has requested that the applicant be present, which they are, to answer any questions. And the item is for acceptance of the application only. So if accepted, the application is scheduled to be presented to the Planning and Zoning Board on July 9th, 2024, and then again to the City Council on August 12th, 2023. And I believe there's some renderings in your packet as well.
It's very impressive.
Yes. Who do we have?
We have
Daryl Vickers.
How are you? How are you, sir?
Doing well. So, what all would you want to know? So,
well, Mr. Vickers, how about you just tell us your name, address for the record,
sure.
And then if we have any questions, we'll
all right,
shoot
fair
them
enough.
Your way.
Daryl Vickers. I reside at 524 Stone Canyon Drive, McGregor, architect with CPNY/STV. Not sure what the alphabet will be tomorrow, but anyway.
Anything about this project that you'd like us to know about before we make a decision on it?
Ultimately, as you are aware, land development. Originally, the church was anticipating putting their school there and taking the school and converting all of that to just actual Sunday school space. Due to COVID, that changed. The school enrollment decreased somewhat, and they felt that the church was looking for, you know, we have a lot of vacant land. What can we do to really engage really the membership of the church? And so ultimately, they're looking to put in a walking track, an outdoor basketball court, a couple of sandpit volleyball courts, a couple of outdoor pickleball courts, and then a pavilion for use primarily by church members. It's going to be gated. They are not planning on necessarily opening it up to Little League coaches and teams to come out and practice and that type of thing, but ultimately it is going to be there for the church membership to use for different activities. There's also going to be a turf area for kite flying and those types of things, picnicking on the grounds, if you will. So that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
Okay. Great. Any questions for Mr. Vickers? Thank you so much, sir. Appreciate
it. Thank you.
It.
You bet.
Okay, well, this is stage one. This is the first stage of their process for this recreational facility.
We're just accepting it to move it.
We're just going to move it to the next stage. Does anybody have any questions before we do that, before we vote on it? These renderings look great.
Oh, yeah.
Can you be a member at two churches so that I can use it?
Sure.
That was a joke. That was a joke. We appreciate you letting us know that it's just for church members. All right. Council, if there's no further discussion, let's. I'll entertain a motion on item 14. Item 13.
I move that we accept the application to develop.
It's been moved. Moved and seconded. Thank you. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Council. All right, moving on to item 14. Item 14 is the discussion and consider action on potential partnership between Midway ISD and the City of Woodway for the city to provide updated lighting around the PAW walking track at the corner of Midway Drive and Estates Drive. Motion to discuss.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you very much. Mr. Manager, any comments on number 14?
Just the background information that I've included in everybody's printout, which is MISD and PTA members pitched a few months ago the above stated partnership, which has been heard by Parks and Recreation at their level. The board, as one of the other members said earlier, voted unanimously after hearing the presentation from supporters and voted in favor to carry the project forward to the City Council for consideration. Also, staff member Keisha Redden, who was at that meeting, it's the one meeting I have not been to this year, I was out of state, she reported back that two of the board members were absent for the vote, both of whom were outgoing members and both of whom expressed support still for the PAW during previous discussions. Just as a matter of budgeting, this is slated for the next fiscal year to an amount of $64,000. And that's all I have, Mayor.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. All righty. Council, we've got the numbers. We've got the background on the paw. Any questions for the staff or any discussion?
I had a question I'm not sure I understood.
Yes, sir.
If or why the option to simply change the bulbs in the existing light poles, if that's a possibility, from what are there to something that's much more energy efficient and much higher in light output, is that something that's actually been considered or looked at?
We did do a small upgrade, and Ashley Shoup is here, and Ashley was the one who gave the presentation to the Parks Board and is here and available for any questions. But do you want to speak to what has already been done?
Yeah, so.
And Ms. Shoup, if we could just get your name and address, please.
Ashley Shoup, 219 West Lane Circle. I have had maintenance come out and update the bulbs. The lighting, the poles, and the wiring is just so old that the newer, more efficient bulbs still were just not very bright. It did increase, visual a little bit, but just if you look at most community parks or public parks, they have more commercial grade lighting, and these are just like very low grade residential, like just not very bright. I don't know if you, it's kind of hard to really explain unless you just go and see it for yourself. So in my presentation, I did try to show a picture. I think y'all just have the printout, so I don't know what that looks like on your printout.
We do have that in our council packets. And the discussion is also on the website from the parks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, also, I was wondering, this was characterized as a partnership between the city of Woodway and MISD, I guess it is. Is this in a tangible form, I mean written form, and if so, for how long is this partnership, or is this just something that's, kind of vague?
I had that same question, sir. I try to get some clarification with our city attorney, because sometimes we'll bring interlocal agreements or mutual use, shared aid, different. They're all kind of structured a little bit differently depending on what you're doing. And we were going to leave it up to the council. If the council is agreeable to agree to agree, we can put something in writing together, which was the recommendation of our attorney, to at a later date, if it is approved, they can put, or Mr. Shaw can put that together and make things official. We did find something with another part of that property, but on the school property in the past. It was an agreement between the ISD and us that went all the way out to like 2028, but it was specifically for the boundaries of, I may be wrong, but a playground, but I don't think it extended any further than that. So really, if you really wanted to iron everything out and make sure every T was crossed, we could put that together.
So we also, other elementary schools in Midway ISD have partnerships with the cities that they are in, and we do not have one with South Bossy, but we do have one that actually is still in effect until 2028 regarding the back property, the playground that's at the back, because we don't need to go into that, but anyways, what I'm trying to say is this is not, there's precedence for us having partnerships, official partnerships, and shared use of land.
Mm-hmm. And just for your sake, if you didn't know, that's been in place since 2002, so it's a longstanding partnership with MISD.
In connection with that, is it spelled out in that partnership, I mean, relative to proper lighting in this at nighttime and so forth, who assumes the liability for what might happen there?
And the understanding from just initial talks, and this could all be worked out, that it would be the school district would maintain the lights. Like, we would just put them in, and they would maintain them and manage.
Yeah, from my talks with maintenance and the superintendent, Dr. Allen, I mean, we would maintain, I mean, they would maintain them. We would also be paying, you know, the electricity bill.
She's saying we as in Midway.
Yeah. I do not work, well, actually, yeah. I will be working for Midway. But, yes, they will be paying for the electricity bill. So it's not going to really have any effect on the city of Woodway except for just, you know, supporting the funding of being able to put in this new lighting, since it is a public use, and honestly, it would not really even benefit students during the day because it would be lighting so in the evenings. So, I mean, there might be kids out there at that time, but most of the time, it would be, you know, once the sun goes down earlier, you know, there's baseball practices, soccer practices, there's people walking early, later. So it would really benefit the community as a whole.
So do I understand you're saying that the Midway ISD would maintain this?
Yes.
After it's done?
Yes. From my understanding, yes.
But this is also maintenance that you're asking for in the wiring and other issues. Evidently, they didn't do the maintenance, and now they're asking us to do it. Will this be something... those lights are probably not that old because that building is not that old. You know, we're going to be seeing it again 15 years, mm-hmm. you know, asking.
Do it.
I said these are commercial grade. Those yeah. are not.
So the school put in the wrong lights.
So the school did not actually put those in. The PTA had raised money. There was a lot of community fundraising at the time. Again, this park was built like in 2000 and I don't know the exact date, but
Round 4 or 5.
Yes, right. That's correct. So I've lost my train of thought now, but yes, it was money raised. So Midway ISD never brought any money to the table to put those lights in.
And they didn't evidently make the agreement then to do the maintenance.
Well, there was an agreement. There's a whole packet. It's very lengthy that I think there would be some maintenance. And there's a long history of what has happened with the PAW as far as maintenance goes. But, yes, it just has not been maintained.
They didn't
well.
Follow through with what they agreed to then.
Yeah.
And now we're expecting them to follow through if we do this.
I do believe they will, and they've had some turnover in the maintenance department. They have a new, manager. I'm not sure his exact title, but he's an amazing guy, and he really supports, you know, the PAW and the efforts that I've been putting into trying to revitalize it. So he and his crew, I know, will definitely do what they can to take care of. But, I mean, my hopes is by putting in these commercial lights that it would not require as much maintenance as some of these lower grade lights. I would think, you know, I'm not an electrician, so I have no idea.
I think Mr. Keystone brings up a really good point. Mr. Shaw, if we move forward with this, can we at the same time update our interlocal agreement, or does that have to be a separate item? Because I kind of like what he said. We kind of need to iron out who's going to be in charge of what.
There's actually one more factor that I think could factor into this agreement.
Yeah. Kate, can I just get an answer real quick?
Right. So what I would say is to let the 2002 to 2028 agreement run, and then if that wants to be renewed, just renew that one. I wouldn't start adding to something 22 years into a 25-year interlocal.
I see.
My understanding, and again, this is kind of what we want to glean from council tonight, is number one, what's your interest? Number two, what is my understanding is it's kind of a capital outlay. The city will provide the upfront capital to do it right, and from there hand it off to Midway ISD and let them take it from there. So correct. Essentially doing what the PTA attempted to do 20 years ago, didn't quite have the funds, certainly had the enthusiasm to do, but just couldn't fund and couldn't plan well enough to look this far into the future. So asking the city whether or not you guys are interested in picking up the baton and taking it the next step.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
the kind of thing that would be ironed out in the interlocal as we in Midway SD work that out.
Okay. All right. So we're going to put a pin in it.
The one other major thing I would think is if we make this investment for or on MISD's property, can they provide a guarantee that the land won't be repurposed for something else for, say, a period of 20 or 25 years? Mm. Otherwise, there might be some call to have a partial or prorated refund to the city of the expenses incurred by us for them. Yeah. If they decide to do something else with the land.
I think that's the same. I think we'd have to just include that
in the agreement.
In the updates, yeah. Good news is that we have one. It's been around for a long time. And we can instruct our attorney to update it once it runs out. So this is really just to move forward with these lights and go to the next step if that's what you would like to say.
Being that we're expending this money, couldn't we revise the agreement now going forward?
I asked that 1 second ago and attorney's advice was to not make any adjustments now. Let this
How much was spent in 2000, whatever year that was?
None from us, it was a grant. We got a grant for
it. It was a completely separate deal. That's a lease. It's an apples and oranges agreement, and it doesn't make any sense to tack this one onto it. So, and any interlocal agreement between the city and the ISD would have to come back to you for approval. You guys approve interlocal agreements. It's not something that could happen mm-hmm. outside of you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to say that the PTA has done a wonderful job putting together this idea, and I'm for anything to improve the city. And of course, you're trying to find the most cost-effective ways of doing it. You put Thank in you. A lot of work doing it. I've talked to a lot of citizens that are maybe a little more blue-collar light, and some of them were electricians, and they went and looked at those lights, and they're saying right now they're incandescent lights. The difference between incandescent light technology and LED technology is 20-1. I didn't know this, but somebody told me this, that you can get 20 times more brightness out of an LED light than an incandescent, which I believe you're planning with these lights to be LED. But I'm also told that they make LED lights that screw into any fixture. So, you know, we could see an issue where for a very small capital outlay, you could get 20 times brighter light than what you're dealing with here. I understand you've got some problems with some of the poles not having electricity to it or whatever. Now, somebody had recommended there are electricians, local electricians, that would probably do it for the advertising expense to put a banner up on your fence. We could see, instead of $64,000, less than $1,000 that could be done on a fundraising, and I'd be happy to personally do some paying in for fundraising for something like this. I always like to look at, have we looked at every possible possibility to save money before we ask the citizens of Woodway to make a large capital outlay? There's some capital outlays we must do. But in this situation, I'm wondering, can we look at other cost savings things that maybe we don't have the taxpayers to do that we can do through fundraising? And like I said, I'd be glad to write a small check to go towards it personally. So that was just something I wanted to mention.
Thank you.
Also, I guess we probably need city attorney. Is there limitations on what we can spend city money on?
Well, yeah.
Okay. I would think so. Now, in this situation with us not owning the property, is there limitations there?
No, it's two governmental entities working together on a governmental function. It's fine. If they wanted to put the lights in someone's backyard, that would be a problem. But
okay. But you're saying them. Because it's a governmental agency that has their own taxing entity, we can still work with them.
Well, I didn't say all that, but because it's two governmental entities, they can work together.
Now, because they have a taxing entity, does that make a difference at all?
No.
Because you just said you didn't say that, and that's what I said.
You keep saying taxing entity, and that's not the criteria.
Well, Midway ISD collects tax.
Right, but that's not the criteria for why the interlocal agreement works. They're a political subdivision of the state. They are the public, and you are the public.
Okay.
And so you can work together.
Here's another question. Does this open us up? We talked about the other elementary school a few minutes ago, and I believe we probably have four or five churches that has playgrounds or activities. Does it open us up at any issue where we have done it for one and now we should do it for another?
A school in the school district is a completely separate animal than a church.
Okay.
It also is something that is very largely used by Woodway citizens in a way that it's open to anyone, not outside. Outside of school hours, it is for anyone who wants to use it. And so we are very lucky that they do not put gates around it and keep everyone out from the moment school's out and all summer long. And they maintain it. And it is, you know, if we look at where parks are, city parks are, this one is really on its own. I mean, it's not ours, but I just feel like a shared use agreement is a great tool in this case because of how it is so publicly utilized in a way that you can't say that for, anything else.
Does the other school close off their playground?
No, that's what I'm saying. They have shared use agreements with the cities that they're in.
You're saying both schools do this.
I'm saying like Castleman Creek, let's talk about Castleman Creek, is in Hewitt. And there's like disc golf. Thank you.
And they have an agreement.
There's disc golf there. And so there's an agreement between who puts it on, who puts them in, who maintains it, and it's both entities working together because both the school and the citizens of Hewitt utilize this land so readily. And so,
but it sounds like we won't get an updated agreement until 2020.
I'm going to ask for one. I think it's a good idea to have an updated agreement.
Yeah.
I'm going to vote yes for this, but I'm also going to ask for an agreement. So I want to be very clear on who's paying for what. So.
But I guess my question is not so much about the Hewitt Elementary School, but the other Woodway Elementary School. They don't close off their playground equipment.
No, they don't.
It's open.
It's open, and it is also kind of in a neighborhood. It's not like publicly utilized in the same way.
It's not like on a really high traffic road, so I'm sure there's a lot of people that don't really even know too much about it. Whereas, you know, Woodway Elementary, the Paw, is right on a high traffic road. We're about to get a sidewalk that's going to be going right in front of it. So, I mean, I think it's going to be highly accessible for lots of people. And also just to speak to, you know, fundraising and stuff, I do have plans for other fundraising efforts that require...
I saw some of the work.
Yes.
Good.
So, I mean, I've been putting in a lot of work over the last year and a half on this. So I think this was just kind of an idea that I thought this could offload some of the fundraising efforts that I'm going to be taking on by partnering with the city. So because I'm just a volunteer, so it's a lot of work.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I think we looked at lower costs, that could also offset some of that.
This has been approved by the Parks Board unanimously, and they were very supportive of it, as Mr. Tankersley pointed out at the beginning. And we sat in a room with MISD maintenance, Ashley, myself, some other Woodway staff members,
and really talked through all of the options, including, I mean, they went out and changed the light bulbs. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, at the end of the day, this is just a way to really offer a safer environment out there at that highly utilized piece of property that's in the heart of our town. Mm-hmm. And,
yeah. I talked to Rodney, our park supervisor, about it too, and he thought that the LED lights was a good idea and would have been a cost savings. He did mention about the wiring issues.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you check the panel though? Because
the wiring issues is
just. Well, it's not just the wiring, but you're talking about the load on the system, the panel itself, how many amps it's pulling. There are a lot of different things that come to it, but I agree with you guys' point as far as the disposition of the property, because we don't know what the school is going to do tomorrow. So the school decides, hey, we had an explosion in population, so we're going to have to use that land to put in some temporary pods or whatever, and we have to move the lights. So do they just tear them down and throw them away? Or is there a way that we can structure the agreement that if the city wants to reclaim those lights and use them in a park somewhere, mm-hmm. can we do that? You know, so that would be my concern. Sure. And I agree with the mayor in that if it's feasible, if it's possible that we update the agreement to reflect that, I would feel more comfortable with that personally. But I will say this though as well. I think the usage of the lights primarily going to be Woodway citizens.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Now, Midway ISD, they really don't have to put the lights out there from my perspective. Mm-hmm. Because kids are not going to be out there.
No, as a matter of fact, they had them turned off for a very, very long time.
I understand that. Mm-hmm. I think there could be a way to look at it and possibly do some upgrades, but, you know, I don't know. I've been around parks and rec, and when we try to go into this, let's try to fix it. We just cause more problems, especially when you start looking at electricity and panels and all those kinds of things. And my other question was going to be, who's going to be responsible for the construction and whether or not Midway have the same bid requirements that we do as a city? I know governments have requirements, but mm-hmm. I don't know enough about Midway's requirements as far as how they procure this. Are they going to install them themselves? I know they have maintenance department, so are they going to purchase the lights and install themselves, or are they going to contract with someone else?
We were provided a bid from a Byboard vendor.
So they did use Byboard.
And okay. So that John kind of ran point on that.
Okay.
John Norman.
That gives me more comfort there.
Yeah.
Okay.
You had a question.
I had one question for our city attorney. And that is, do we know that this type of expenditure, and it wouldn't be just applicable to this, but to anything, is in compliance with the municipal code concerning expenditures by our city?
Well, what you're actually looking at is the government code 791 regarding interlocal agreements between governmental entities. There's a set of list of categories that are governmental functions, and certainly this use of the PAW would qualify as the kinds of things the city can do. To that point, the construction, I think there are some details of this that I'm not ready to comment on. I think we need to get a little bit, or at least I need, better information either from Adam or from MISD so that I know what kind of the plans and the bidding and the things. But to John's question, yes, the ISD has the same procurement rules, substantially the same procurement rules we do. And so all those would still apply. They're bound the same way we are.
I like your idea that it needs to be an updated agreement. I'm not into signing contracts and say, fill them out later. I'd like to see the agreement first and then see what it looks
like. Well, I think what we can do is somebody can make a motion to approve this expenditure pending an update of the interlocal agreement until we
get that. I don't even know that we need so much as an approve of an amount. I think at this stage, it's just give us some marching orders so we can go back to MISD and put something together to bring to you that has those numbers, okay, those plans, those agreements, those terms.
Okay.
Let us know what to bring to you. I think that's really.
Yeah, and then we can vote.
Step
on.
Red.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I'd like. Yeah, because if that happened, I'd be much more inclined to vote in favor.
Feel more comfortable about it.
No. I know what you guys are saying. The agenda item for tonight, though, is to.
We can table it until then.
No, I don't want to table it. I'm talking about what the item was. So it looks like it's just for the partnership. Okay. Okay.
Yeah,
we're not talking about the actual.
It still makes me nervous. Potential partnership.
No, I mean the city attorney said we can't do it. We gotta wait. Here's what I think I'm gonna make a motion on. Let's move to enter into an agreement with Midway IC and the City of Woodway to provide updated lighting around the PAW with updates to our interlocal agreement. That'll be your marching orders. So we're not spending any money yet until we get this agreement done.
I have trouble understanding what was your motion again.
I'm moving to approve this pending a
potential partnership.
Yeah.
Between. So this is approving the partnership.
Yes.
Can we make an explicit statement that we're not approving the expenditure of funds then this point
That's
in time?
Not on we're there not, at all.
Because it's not on here.
Okay.
I had to reread it a couple of times also. So I think at this point we're just telling them to bring us an agreement. That's what it is. And then we can look at it and move it to the next stage. Is that right? Okay. So you're not getting lights tonight.
That's okay.
Sorry.
Hey.
But
one step
but
forward.
We're taking steps
yes.
to it.
Does
that make sense?
Yes.
Thank you so much, Ashley.
Yes.
Really appreciate
of course.
It.
Thank you.
So no money is spent tonight. We're just going to update our. We're going to give the staff orders to bring us back an agreement, and we can review it at that time. Does that make everybody feel better?
Much better.
Everybody good?
We're not agreeing to
yeah.
much.
Okay. So
we're
I'd like
to agree to look into it.
I moved. Story seconded it. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it and the motion carries unanimously. Thank you all very much. All right, guys, how about this? Let's do let's call for a 10-minute recess at 7:27 so we can take some bio breaks. Thank you. Recessing at 7.
You need to go to executive session.
Huh?
You need to just recess to executive session.
Oh, I can move it. I can move it up. Is that what you're asking? Mm-hmm. Yes.
That way, everyone can have a break and we can
yes. Folks, we're gonna recess into executive session instead of taking a break, so we can keep things moving at 7:27. Thank you. Meeting here at 7:46, bringing us out of executive session at 7:46 p.m. All right, Ms. Barkley, we're going back to item 15A through C. This is the consent agenda. Council, the consent agenda consists of non-controversial, routine, and budgeted items, which require no public hearing. The consent agenda is subject to being approved with a single motion. However, the mayor or any city council member may remove any item from the consent agenda for separate discussion and consideration. Mr. City Manager, any comments for us on the consent?
Well, yes, Mayor, unfortunately. I need to advise everybody we need to remove 15B, which is the awarding of a contract in response to a request for a bid for Wood Valley Drive and Whitehall Park parking improvements to Barnett Contracting. The lowest responsible bidder for this reason here, in an amount not to exceed $590,920, authorizing the city manager to execute the documents in connection therewith. What I did here is I put that $590 amount, which was their bid, but the engineers recommend on both of those locations going with the ad alternate, which is making that surface not asphalt but concrete to
Ooh.
Prolong the life of it. But that brings it to another $636,539. So since the lower amount was posted, I wanted to consult with our attorney to make sure we were heading down the right direction. I figured, hey, let's approve this $590. We can change order it later. But the cleanest way is to just put it on the next meeting. It's not going to affect the project because they couldn't mobilize anyway. So everything's still on track, on time, but to do it clean, you know, we got to get it done in August. Got to move it out.
Okay.
Sorry for that.
No apology needed. That's perfectly fine. So Mrs. Berkeley will move item 15B to the next meeting in August.
I have just a question. Is 15C pertaining to your business?
No.
I just wanted to make sure it wasn't the same John
Williams. I had the same question. I'm sure that's not the first time that's happened to you.
Yeah, I might be a Boy Scout, but I'm not.
We've got at least three John Williams
there. Oh, there are. I've met several since I've been here.
Yeah.
It's kind of shame.
Yeah.
But uncommon person.
I did prepare some emails for all of you, just printouts between the other John Williams, this gentleman that's applying for this, and our city secretary, just so you can see the exchange if you're interested. But it's they sell Boy Scout memorabilia, patches and awards, et cetera. And they've been doing it since the 90s.
Okay.
But that and the minutes is the only thing on this consent agenda.
All right, thank you.
I'd like to pull out the minutes for just one small adjustment.
All right, we're pulling 15A. Is everybody good with 15C?
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll entertain a motion on 15C, please.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda 15C.
Second.
Thank you. That's been moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the consent agenda item 15C passes. All right, item 15A, discussion and consider action on minutes of the regular city council meeting held June 10th, 2024 at 5:30 p.m. Motion to discuss, please.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Mr. Russell.
Just a very small thing on the vote where Dave Keystone and I voted, we didn't vote nay, we voted abstain. We put a reason for it, and it didn't make it to the minutes.
Yeah, because it's on the audio.
Okay, is there any way we can put it on the minutes for that? Because if someone's just reading, they won't know why we didn't vote abstain.
Well, I think if you abstain, it's like you're not there for the vote.
But we put a reason for that.
But it's like you're not there, so I don't know if that gets in it. It's not a nay or a yay. It's as if you're absent for that vote. That's what abstaining means.
I guess my point is we gave a reason for that. It'd be nice to have it on the minutes.
Yeah, but it's hard to give a reason when you're not there. That's what abstaining does.
Well, it's not that you're not there. There's a reason that you're abstaining from voting.
And that's what we're asking.
I'm telling you what abstaining does is it's saying you are not present for that vote. That's what you're doing. That's what that means. But so she doesn't record. She doesn't record it because.
Okay, is it illegal to do that or to? I mean,
no, it's just not proper for the abstentions.
Well, no, I mean an abstention is not a vote. The requirement under the Open Meetings Act is simply to record the action of each council member. The council members abstained from the vote. That's what gets recorded in the minutes. The audio recording captures the rest of the discussion. Wouldn't be wrong. It wouldn't be illegal to include it. It wouldn't be illegal to exclude it. You don't include the reasons for your vote on anything else. So it's cleaner not to.
Most of the time, we don't give reasons for one way or the other. I'm asking for that reason to add that to the minutes.
I would think in the interest of transparency, it's such a simple thing that it would be nice to include it in the minutes because there's no harm done.
Yeah. It's on the audio, right? It's on the audio recording.
It is, but of course, some people will just read through the minutes instead of going through the whole time.
Well, Council, what do you
guys? Are we setting a precedent if we include it?
It's not an important one way or another because it doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
Well, when we went to action minutes, that was the one.
I remember.
We were doing audio, so it didn't. Therefore, we changed it to just action minutes. Yeah. So that would be, for me, when do I know I'm supposed to include something else?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Well,
I'm thinking if someone says there's a reason for this, we'd like to have it on the news.
It's definitely on the record. I mean, you definitely have it on the audio. I'm but just trying to think if we want.
Not everyone will see that. No. What I'm saying, the minutes is the abbreviated. Then I just wanted to have the reason for that.
I'll defer to counsel. I don't think it needs to go in there just because it's absentee or abstain, and it's in the audio. But I'll defer to what counsel wants to do.
I guess you're ready for a motion.
I mean, I don't particularly have a problem with it, but I don't want us. I prefer us not to be going back to amending minutes on a regular basis because we didn't have something.
We don't.
That's why I say it's just going to set a precedent that we start doing that again.
How many times have we amended minutes? Not very many times, but there has been times.
Or let's say there's been a couple.
Has it been questioned by somebody?
No, it was
why
just
you abstained or what the issue was?
Yes, it has been asked, why did you not vote one way or another? And I explained. And I said it's on the recording, but it didn't make it to the minutes.
I feel like it's repeating.
Yeah, no, we have to vote on it anyway.
Do we have to vote on it?
Well, it's a consider action on the minutes. So... Why don't you
say counsel? Are you talking about legal counsel or
us?
The box.
Us.
I think Mr. Shaw's leaving it up to us whether or not we want to do it.
Yeah, it's you're totally open, and it's not something that happens very often. You know, how often do we abstain from anything and give a reason for it?
Well, you know, it's been a couple of times in a row now that you guys have.
But Mr. Shaw, isn't it when you abstain, you're not, you don't vote.
Separate issues, right? I mean, that's right. It's not a vote.
It's not a vote. Okay.
But this is a separate question of what goes on the minutes. Mm-hmm. And it's not required to go on the minutes. It's not.
It's up to us on whether or not you do it or not. Whether or not you feel like we should have more transparency on just this one item and say, oh, this is the reason why. Or if you're wanting to vote against it, and it's totally
transparency. Can we listen to the minutes?
Yeah, I was going to say, can we?
Transparency is listen to the minutes.
There's two things.
That is public.
Can we not say transparency? Because then that means that I am a part of it not being transparent if I said no. Not that I'm going to say no, because personally, I don't care if we put it on there. Mm. If we move things along, I'll say let's just amend the minutes and move on.
Yeah.
That's my personal opinion.
Yeah.
But it's not a lack of transparency because we have transparency. We are doing what the law says we're required to do. So please don't say lack of transparency because you include me if I were to go one way or the other.
Well, ultimately.
And I don't want you guys to do that.
Yeah, ultimately, this is transparency to the residents of Woodway.
They have transparency because if they want to listen to what happened in the council meeting, they can listen to the tape.
Yeah, but how much longer is it going to take to go search through the whole recording other than the post 2 minutes on the website?
David, I'm not disagreeing with you on that.
No, I know that.
But when you use that word transparency, there is a counter argument to say that there are people who say, well, they must not want to be transparent. But we are, because we're following the law. That is transparent. That is transparent.
Well, there's the letter and the spirit.
It follows both because the law, letter law says do this.
It may follow the letter, but not the spirit.
Well, then the spirit of the law, if you want to look at it that way, then means that everything that we say, we need to write down in the minutes.
I understand what you're saying.
Transparency.
Yeah.
Because I just said a second ago, well, I want to hear this, that, or the other on vote. I don't expect that to be in the minutes. I know it's on the recording.
Yeah. I understand what you're saying.
Write that down there.
And you know, all I'm talking about is we put on there a reason why we did it. And that's a kind of an important thing.
I don't disagree with you on that, David. And for the sake of argument, I would say let's amend these minutes at this point in time because of how you feel about that.
I agree.
But let's stop using this word transparency to include things that are not because that gives the public a totally different perspective on transparency. Yeah. And then they're going to have a value judgment against me thinking that I am not a transparent person. And I'm just quite frankly getting tired of hearing that. Okay? So we are being transparent because we're following the law. Now, are we doing things that you would like us to do? Maybe not in this case. And I would contend, let's do it. Let's just amend the minutes and get it over with and move forward.
I guess I'm asking for a favor.
That's not a favor.
Are we voting on this?
So, in order to approve the minutes, we got to decide what we need to do.
Yeah.
I just want to note that Donna did nothing wrong, and Donna followed exactly what was asked of her and tasked of her.
Oh, I'm not saying she is. She said he did. Matter of fact, I always talk about how good she doesn't.
I don't like the precedent that this is setting. I just want you guys to know. So you're going to be asking for Miss Donna to amend it every single time. That's what you're opening the door to. So I'll entertain a motion on this if we're ready, if there's no further discussion.
I'll make a motion to amend the minutes to give the reason that Councilman Keystone and I voted abstain, as we said in the recording.
I'll second that.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say nay.
No.
Nay. All right, looks like, yeah, Gilman, nay. Cook, nay. Corzal, nay. Surrey, nay. 1, 2, 3, 4. So, yeah, so the motion doesn't pass and the minutes stay as they're written. Audio recordings are available. Thank you all.
Well, Mayor, you still need to vote to approve the minutes one way or the other.
Go back to voting? Okay.
A second.
All right. I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes as stated at the City Council meeting on June 10th, 2024 at 5:30 p.m.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, please say nay.
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 The ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously on the City Council meeting minutes. With two nays on the minutes. Thank you. Okay, moving on to item number 17. These are items related to the proposed fiscal year 2025 annual budget and proposed 2024 ad valorem tax rate. Item 17 is discussion regarding the proposed budget for fiscal year 25 and 24 ad valorem tax rate. Mr. Manager, before we kick off discussion, do you have anything for us? Or Ms. Hernandez, do you have anything for us?
Hello, Brenda.
Bring Brenda up.
Well, before we do, I think the main conversation was around at the last, when we last discussed the budget, Council, Mayor and Council were asked for the four criteria. I don't know if everybody has brought those four criteria back. I could read them, but there's mainly four things that Ms. Hernandez is asking for your direction on to continue that conversation tonight. And I think that's kind of where we wanted to start. Is that right, ma'am? And since this is my first run here, how do you usually do that? Council hands it to you, or we discuss it, go down the line? How would you like to do that?
Last year was my first time doing it. Kind of just ask questions and just, we're not taking any action. It's more of just discussion on some marching orders they want to give me for when I prepare the second draft.
Okay.
And as previously mentioned, we're going to get those certified rolls from the appraisal district on July 25th.
Okay.
And at that point, depending on how this conversation goes tonight, I'll figure out how we're allocating the tax rate, what capital outlay projects y'all want, and then I'll include the pay plan and all the other funds in the next budget that's coming up. But it's really just an open discussion conversation.
Great. Brenda, why don't you bring us up to speed on where we are right now with the budget? We're still waiting for the tax rolls. Those are going to come out.
Yes, sir. July 25th.
July. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, so the first – oh, go ahead. That I had, Mayor?
No, go ahead.
Yes, sir. The first draft was dispersed to each of the council members back in June, and I gave you an opportunity to look at that, and then I reached out and offered kind of office hours if anybody had any questions to come by and discuss anything in the budget. I did have a few council members take me up on that offer and send some questions. But as far as the budget is concerned, I have not created a second draft. I'm kind of waiting for those numbers, but there are a few items we are aware of that are changing for the second draft. Big one being for the property and liability insurance. I estimated those increases right about 8%, and they came in closer to 10. We did see an increase in attorney fees. We're seeing an increase in our TMRS rate contribution that's given to us by TMRS. We are going to ask for one additional personnel in the second round of the budget related to information technology. And then a part-time Carling Bright Arboretum ground maintenance worker to cover the weekends. But those are the changes I know are upcoming. Everything else was included in the budget, the capital outlay, the pay plan. And so for here tonight, I'm really looking for direction. I know big picture, y'all want the taxes as low as possible. So I'm not really necessarily talking about the tax rate itself. I'm talking about the meat of the budget. Where would y'all like me to cut? If in capital outlay, are y'all good with the cost of living adjustment? Just essentially some guidance to where I should go for the second draft, because I don't want to prepare three drafts this time around.
You don't want to make three drafts?
No, sir. It's a lot of work.
The first question that you asked us for direction on is direction if you want to continue allocating to future street improvements and long-term capital projects. And this is one of the questions that I had for Brenda. And after talking, I do think that as far as the future street improvements fund goes is concerned, I think that that is a beneficial use of allocation, knowing that we have a very big project coming in the future that we plan to use. And so I think it would be wise to continue to allocate to that fund. But when I started asking questions about the long-term capital projects fund, that was created in 2015. Help me if I'm speaking.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. You're correct.
And we have not used any of those funds since creating that. And in this budget, I think if we were to decide to not allocate any funds to that particular bucket, I think that we could cover the rest of the general fund. We would not have to dip into reserves to cover the rest of the general fund. Is that
correct? That is correct.
That is the direction as one council member that I would like to be considered.
So say that again, because I want to make sure.
Down here on page one, under long-term capital projects, I'm saying that we would not allocate the $294,000 into, we would not allocate that. It would stay in the general fund.
And I can provide some clarification on that, Councilman Williams. So Councilwoman Story is correct. That fund was created in 2015, and the description that was given was to account for the proceeds of a property tax increase. Proceeds shall only be used for long-term capital projects in order to offset debt issues. There's approximately $2 million in that account as of June 30th. Our software goes back to 2013, and I can't see, 2015 is when it was created. I can't see that it was ever used. Mm-hmm. And I know for the future street improvements, the money, the 4.5 cents we're allocating, we plan to work on Ritchie Road and Old McGregor Road, and we're kind of letting that build up until we have enough funds to fund those projects. But I haven't been given an end goal of where this money is going to be used.
And the capital outlay that we have currently, nothing is
being.
We don't have any plans to draw from that particular fund.
That capital outlay that's in the budget, it says which fund it's coming out of towards the end of 58, I believe, is the page. And that says which fund, and it's not this fund. For the street improvements, however, we've used that in the past. We've used that when we redid all those roads. That was before my time. I think I was in college when it happened. No, I'm kidding.
Now, we've done, with the street funds, we did West Fairway Road. We did, just the most recent one would have been Harbor Drive, Brook Hollow, White Oak, White River, and Little River. So we did those four streets out of that fund. And so that's the most recent one.
That's typically, well, she's hit it right on that. That typically, we have a capital improvement plan identified for major reconstruction on streets. We kind of have an estimate of what we think it's going to cost, and we start saving towards that. Council in the past has allocated that money and said they'd rather save and pay than bond it out.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yes, sir. That's your question.
But you weren't using this fund here to save and pay. You were using a different fund to save and pay, mm-hmm. as opposed to this particular fund.
That is correct.
So you weren't here long enough to say that they were projecting certain needs from capital side that they were going to need money to pay for. And so the fund was just included, if you will, as a way to, because we're collecting tax dollars, as a way sure. to put those tax dollars in a place mm-hmm. legally that we could put them in, secondarily, that we might need them down the road.
Yes, sir. That's my understanding. That's my understanding. And at the time when it was created, our tax rate was a little higher. It was mm-hmm. it wasn't above the voter approval. We had to take it to an election, but it wasn't the no new revenue rate. I know the language has mm-hmm. changed is what they refer to those. Mm-hmm. And it was before a homestead exemption. So it was like right in the middle, 47 cents. And if you look at page one of your budget, it shows you the historical tax rate. We were at 47 cents from 2014 to 2017 tax year, and then it's steadily gone down to 45 cents. Under City Manager Oubre's time, I recall that they did elect not to fund this at one point.
In 2021 is
in
what
2021.
Yeah.
And you can see the tax rate's weird because it says 2020 and it goes back to 20. It's a year off, but that's when the tax rate was down to 45 cents. And so they chose not to fund it on the front end, but with the understanding is if they got to year end and there was a surplus, then they would move money over. And I believe that this is what they did. Again, a little before my time, but that was what I was told by Mr. Yeah. Klump, previous finance director.
So, Councilwoman, you're wanting to maybe stop funding the long-term?
At least this year front end.
So that we don't have to dip into revenues to balance?
Correct.
Dip into reserves to balance the budget?
Correct.
And you're pretty sure we don't need that anytime soon?
We don't
like
need...
for a pumper truck or something?
Yes, sir. We don't need it for the capital outlay budgeted in the current year.
Got it.
And we haven't used it.
Correct. I mean, we haven't used it since it was created.
Yeah.
Well,
which means of a whole new question. But anyway, so in the long term, though, we're not talking about, or are we talking about reducing the tax rate? Or are we just talking about moving the money?
Right now,
I'm not.
I don't want to speak for Councilwoman Cook, but I believe what she's saying is instead of allocating 4.27% to long term capital projects of maintenance and operation money. We'll move more to the general fund so we're not passing more expenditures and revenues and having to dip into reserves. If we were to allocate more, then it would be a balanced budget. Either way, it's a balanced budget because we'll go into reserves, but we won't have to dip into reserves.
Revenue, not
Correct. In essence,
they need no new revenue.
We're lowering the rate.
Lowering the rate because of the no new revenue.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to make. I just wanted to make sure that.
But you understand.
I thought I was hearing what you were saying, but I just want to make sure that in my own mind, we're not talking about reducing the tax rate at this point.
At this point, we don't know what the tax rate. Well, we have an estimate from the tax office, but it's more of just the allocation because most cities, you have your maintenance and operation and your interest and sinking to pay debt, but we split our maintenance and operation to the general fund. Future capital projects and future street improvements. Yeah. So it would just be instead of allocating it three ways, allocating it two ways.
Yeah. Okay.
So continuing the 12.82% allocated to the future capital street improvements.
Does anybody else have any questions for me?
So the funds would remain, but it would just be zero this time around.
Correct. That money is in there until y'all tell me what to do with it.
So that's number one item. Number two is about the COLA. And I notice we have 5% cost of living for all employees and 2-4% merit raises for eligible employees. I think we've got some of the best employees in the county. And of course, I want them to get the most. But like last year I'd mentioned, I wonder if it should be flipped, not because I want the good or the average employee to get less, but the worst employee would be getting a 5% increase, and it might be better to have a 2-3% COLA and then flip it to merit so the managers like yourself and Adam can actually figure out who's your racehorses and who you should be paying the most to. So our way, you know, the ones that maybe is not as good can be working a little harder to get up like the ones that are working well. There was one other thing that was mentioned to me. I've got some friends that's very deep in the numbers, which I love to go deep, but they go far deeper. This report, which I understand is maybe the first draft, but it's 67 pages. Some of our other cities around us are putting a lot more in their proposals. And it helps from the standpoint of they will put breakdowns of all the different cities of what they pay certain staff people. So you can see if you're in average or above average or whatever. I want to hopefully keep us in the above average on most of these categories, but it also would be nice to see how we rank versus McGregor, Robinson, and the others. There was only a couple of cities that had smaller reports, and there was Beverly Hills and Lacey Lakeview. I want to be more in the heavy detail stuff, you know, especially for the people that get into the weeds and pulls this stuff out.
I'll take your first question about the COLA. I mean, that's up to y'all entirely. The pay plan will include it in the second draft, but I will say historically we base our COLA on what the March inflation is from the Bureau of Labor Statistics in the southern region. And we've done that since William was around, which he was here, 20-something years? Mm-hmm. But in 2020, 21, 22, those were around at 3% or 2.9%. We'd round up to 3, but in fiscal year 23, that was 9%, and we only asked for 5 because we figured y'all wouldn't go for 9. Mm. Same with last year, it was above 5, and we asked for 5. I think my mentality or reason I calculated is that we're just trying to catch up to inflation, and even if we were to give them 5%, we would still be behind 4% on inflation. So that's my rationale there, why I included the 5%. But that's ultimately up to y'all. If y'all have a consensus, if that's y'all desire to flip it or ranges y'all want to give me, I will say for the merit evaluations, if you get a B, you get a 2% raise. If you get an A, you get a 4%. So I would need the range.
Could range it up. Correct.
The range y'all would desire if mm-hmm. that's how y'all choose to proceed.
Yeah, the dollars would basically be the same. It would just give you more possibilities. How do you want to take care of your employees? And that's what I'm suggesting here, sure. Is to give you more options.
Gotcha. And then for your second question about the pages, there's 32 funds. I only included the operating funds within this budget. We do an in-house salary survey. Our HR department performs that, and we select 5 cities, 3 of them based on proximity, so Hewitt, Robinson, City of Waco. We compare only fire salaries because it's not really, officer salaries. It's not really apples to apples to compare our IT guy to the director of IT at the City of Waco.
Understand.
But we use them for public safety, and then we also choose 2 similar cities for demographics and population. So that's Sunnyvale and Buda, Texas. So we have all that information.
That would be nice.
I think it would be nice. It would make this a lot larger. We do include the pay plan in that. I can send that to you separately. I don't think the proposed budget is the place for it, but if that's what y'all want to do.
Well, I've just got several citizens that really get into the weeds. And of course, he gave us I don't remember how many pages it is, maybe 15 or so. And he pulled out things from other cities' budget
Sure.
And you know, he was going, well, I can, you know, we find these things in other cities' budget, but we can't find them in ours.
I think in the past, we had big binders. Yeah, correct. We had huge binders, and it had the ranges in there.
Yeah, and the pay plan, the pay plan that you're referring to, Mayor Corzall, it will be in the second draft. I needed to include the COLA, and I needed to include the merit before I could put it in there. So it's coming. It'll say, finance director, this is my range, but it won't say, finance director, here's what they get paid in Robinson and Hewitt and blah, blah, blah.
Is that what you were hoping for?
More like what some other cities use, you know, the average pay for whatever jobs, and your police officer, for instance, the compensation would be X, and this is what Woodway does versus McGregor does.
At those cities,
correct,
compared to us.
Correct.
That's going to be tough, right, Brenda, because we are our personnel aren't apples to apples with other
cities. Well, and we can notate those.
Cities.
You know, the ones that are dual trained.
Yeah.
You know, like police officers.
So we've already done it. It's just a matter of making it into a report format.
Yeah.
I might, if it's okay with you, Mr. Russell, if I can create that as a separate document than the budget and just include our pay plan of, hey, these are our final numbers, but hey, here's our salary survey. And that way it's not getting lost.
So that way I can get it to these.
Yes, sir. Okay. So I can create a separate document.
All of us?
Yes.
Would you mind sending it to all of us? Thank you.
Yeah, I would have to get Evie to work on it a little this week to
make it
council ready, but I will work on that.
I probably need mine in paper form because I don't like showing them my iPad.
Okay, I can do that. Did that answer all your questions,
yes.
Councilman Russell?
Yes.
Well, and because you work incredibly hard for us, and I've heard you say you didn't include, there's a lot that you didn't include in this first draft.
Correct.
Just to get us an idea of what's coming and then be able to really shore it up more in the second, that will be a lot more extensive.
Correct. That'll include the 25 other funds, yes.
Yeah. I just wanted to state that out loud because you've done a wonderful job and I'm very thankful.
Thank you.
And it's wonderful that we started out at the right number. No new revenue. It's a wonderful thing. We don't have to argue about that.
There you go.
So you've got some instructions.
Yes, sir.
Councilwoman Cook and
You're okay with the family center coordinator. Jimmy's had a lot more foot traffic, and he had four people when it was just that building. And as you can see with the numbers, he needs more people to cover. So
yes.
That was the third thing.
Yeah. I think put it in there.
Yes, sir.
And let's see if that changes anything. I don't think it will in the big scheme of things. But, yeah, go ahead and put that in there.
So are we kind of resting on the COLA right now until seeing the survey, or
it's up to you.
I personally would like us to continue to catch up to inflation. Just, you know, I go to H-E-B, it's very expensive, right? Like just to allow our employees to have what they need. And I also believe heavily in talent retention and competitive pay, so.
This is for the creation of the second draft, right?
Yes, sir.
Nothing is going to be finalized. This is for
us. I know, but
we're not adopting until the end of August.
If it's based on salaries or based on this 5% COLA or what he proposed, so she needs to know a consensus is what was asked of us.
So you want to make sure to keep competitive pay, which I agree with 100%, and keep retention, which I also agree with 100%. What I'm proposing is basically the same dollars, but just makes the difference on the bottom end of your employees, not the top end of your employees.
I hear you. I want everybody to be able to pay their bills, but and catch up to inflation. Mm-hmm. And I do. I mean, I want to reward those who work really hard. I'm going to need other people's opinions too.
I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah. Brenda, on the COLA topic, the switching them around, flip-flopping them around would not result in employees getting less money. It would,
of course, truly increase no matter what.
Well, I'm asking Brenda.
Well, the ones that are performing, yes.
And the ones who aren't would have to.
Well, yeah, and if they get below an 80, they're getting on performance improvement plan. But right now, the way it's allocated, it's 11% total that somebody's salary can increase. No, that's not accurate. It's 5% for a COLA, the way I have it pitched. 2% if they get a B, 4% if they get an A.
But the managers determine that.
But the supervisors attend it. But if I hear what Councilman Russell is saying, I'm just trying to keep the math the same. So you're saying if I give a 3% COLA and then get a 3% for a B and a 5% for A, that still gets me the same math.
The math would be, instead of having 5% for the COLA, let's say you take a 3% for the COLA, mm-hmm. and you want to make a total 8% for all of it, you would have to change for the A, B, or whatever. If somebody comes in at an A, you give them 5% on top of the COLA.
Yes, sir. Okay, that's what I said. I was just making sure. Yes, sir. I was just making sure that's what you were saying. Yeah. I wrote it down. I'm a visual person.
So that way, your best people are going to get paid. What you don't want to do is your worst people that maybe are not quite working out. You want them to be working harder.
Plus, you're just incentivizing people to
do a better
job.
Yeah.
Because if they do, they're going to get rewarded.
And remind them of that.
Sure.
But no one will get cut because they still get 3% increase right. as a COLA. So they'll be making what they made last year plus 3%.
It's not cost of living. I mean, not.
This is the fundamental question of what you believe one way or the other.
Yeah.
Whether or not you believe that they should get a cost of living. And, you know, I kind of understand what Dave is saying, you know, in the sense that, man, you know, you got people out there that aren't performing, and it's up to the supervisors to make sure that they're performing.
And remind them.
But unfortunately, some of those supervisors just give people, you know, they did an A work, and they really didn't do A work. I've seen all of that. The question I have is, you know, in times of plenty, do we have a responsibility to our employees to try to make sure that we're staying up on the cost of living? And then anything above and beyond that, as far as the merit pay is concerned, is something that's based on how well they've done in their job. So I would be more in line with the idea of if we're close to what inflation is, and you said it was what, 4-something right now?
Yes, a little 4 for the month of March.
But it has been as high as 9, and we still only gave 5. So mm-hmm. we're kind of playing catch-up. I would be more in line with a 4% COLA, at least keeping us about where we are, and then change the what people get paid as far as merit is concerned, maybe even add another tier to it potentially, I don't know. But that would be up to you guys to tell us and kind of give us some ideas on that. Then we can make a decision on whether or not we want to change what those percentages are.
If 4 is a comfortable number for everybody, I don't see any reason we can't go with 4.
I mean, I don't want to go all the way down to 3 for sure. Because
well,
I just think that it's, inflation keeps going up.
Yeah,
you know,
inflation's
people aren't standing, and I've been on the wrong end of that stick. Unfortunately,
sure.
I worked in a place where we didn't get raises. Well, I can't say I did because I got promoted, but people weren't getting raises for years.
Sure,
I mean it was 3, 4, 5 years that people didn't get a raise, and we're working in a municipality, and they're saying, well, you know what, you got a job, and some people are like, that's not good enough to say I have a job.
Or the other side of it, if you're in a business and you're expecting bonuses and you're used to a certain number and business is off, and bonuses ain't coming.
I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing with you on that.
But the end result is it's 3, 4, 5. If people are comfortable with 4.
The other thing that we have to be cognizant of is the fact that the city is picking up on additional costs that could be pushed out to the employee. So I wouldn't want to go all the way down to 3% because, you know.
I'm okay with 4.
Yeah. 5%, and then, like you said, if 4%, and then if you're a good employee, you're not losing anything.
Sure.
You're still going to get what you got to get.
Switching the range to 3%.
I don't want to give you more work to do.
Yeah.
But.
That's fine.
But.
Yes, sir.
Because I know you can. If possible, could you send us a simulation of what it would look at 4 and 5% for COLA, just on the overall impact on salaries in the budget before we make any.
Of course, like most businesses, salaries
just so we can
are
see.
The largest part of the budget.
It is. It is.
Far.
It's the largest expense.
Isn't it? Yes, sir, and it's not a hard ask because I have a fun little formula where I just have to change the
Amazing.
Number.
So I can get that
to you this week. Yes, sir.
Wonderful. That way we can at least make a good decision because I think at 8:30 at night we may
that's,
not
that's
be
fine. That's
not
fair.
8:30.
Yes, sir.
It sounded like 10:30.
8:30. You know,
he said 8:30.
I will get to that and the salary survey.
Okay.
Okay. So one last,
and then we can talk about it again.
Yes, sir.
In regard to that, is there a way to look at total compensation and say what that increase would be, considering that I know the city is picking up a portion of health care costs and things of that nature that is not getting passed down to the employee?
Not a bad idea.
Because that does show some compensation.
Some more.
Yes, sir. I can. We don't have the final increase on the health care costs, so it'll be last year's numbers.
Okay.
But yes. So you want me to show the benefit side of that as well?
Yes. And so if you look at total compensation, then we can see what their increase in compensation is. Not necessarily just salary, but the other benefits that go along with that.
So you also want me to include so a comparative column?
Yeah.
I like that.
It's not a bad idea.
Anything else for me? Capital outlay?
Mr. Mendez, just
yes, sir.
Just to humor me, since it has been a long day, just to make sure I'm for the employees that we've already graded and they're expecting X in December, October, whenever, depending on what is or isn't shifted, that's not going to change what we've already earmarked for those employees, correct?
Correct. That's not going to. If anything, they're going to be getting more.
Okay.
If I go with the 3 to 5 instead of the 2 to 4.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
And to give y'all some clarification.
So they don't know about the 5%.
I mean, it's a public document. It's in the budget, but they were counting on a 4% if they got an A, and
okay.
So they're evaluated it in April. Is that right?
Yeah.
April and October, so they get half their score, half year.
Okay.
Then we average them, and at that point. Depending on their range, we give them, you know, feedback of how they can be a better employee, and then the raise
so
if they are subject to one.
My assumption is then that when it comes down to pay raises and things of that nature, you're telling them that we have a merit pay plan.
Correct.
This is how that works based on evaluation. COLA is not a guarantee.
That is correct.
You might get a COLA, you might not. The council has to approve that. So they are aware of that. I'm
yes,
assuming.
Sir. Okay. They are aware, because back in 2021, the COLA was 1%. So.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah, because I was going to say, most businesses, cities, whatever, you want to do a cost of living. It's always put out there that we might do this, even though it's public information that we're talking about it. That doesn't mean that it's guaranteed.
Yes, sir.
But the evaluation merit pay typically doesn't change.
That's correct.
We're not going to mess with that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Are you good?
That helps me. That's great.
Anything else at this point?
Yeah.
We're going to have more things to talk about once those rules come out and once we have more concrete numbers. So, okay, very good. Thank you, Brenda.
Thank you, Mayor and Council.
Thank you for your help.
Mr. Mayor, before we go on, I just want to clarify, did we vote on C off the consent agenda? Because we pulled B off, we voted on
we did.
A.
We did.
We
yeah.
did do C.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we did. But Ken, excellent, excellent question. Very astute.
Emotion.
I'm better if we redo the
meeting. So
get out. Get out. You're out of here.
Throw something.
Oh, okay. No. Let me just ask. This is great. We're not going there yet, unfortunately. We're almost there. I have to come back. Guys, we're going back to 15 for just a second. Excuse me, not 15. 17. Ken, to answer your question, the consent agenda items are, we can approve with a single motion. So that's probably why you got, why you thought we did.
Okay, because I thought we pulled two of them out and then only voted on those, but right. Not on the...
No, we did. Okay. We did before we went to discuss those other items.
The two pulled out what you did, which you voted.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Exactly. Let me see here. Brenda, come back up for just a second, please. Back on 17. Brenda is requesting, she wanted to know two things. We talked about the COLA. We approved the family center coordinator. Last thing she wants to know is if there's anything in the capital outlay that you guys wanted to include or anything that you wanted to change. I don't think we talked about that.
Yes, sir. That is correct. That is one of the questions I asked. I got carried away with the 8:30 time. Yes, capital outlay is towards the end of the packet. I know sometimes it's a long list, but we do have plans for next year. I just wanted to see if there was anything that y'all wanted to talk about. Mitch is here. Half the stuff is his. But feel free to ask any questions.
Your office hours were very helpful.
Yes, feel free to come by. No, I mean, I have candy.
When you came and you talked about all this, that really
Mitch,
helped
you see
us.
What she did there?
I was making sure he was awake.
Drove right over you. Yeah.
Hey, your fire truck was already discussed. You're good. But we just have some routine vehicle replacement.
Council, is there anything in the capital outlay request that you would like to talk about or anything that you would like to see added?
The only thing changed? I would like to see is not necessarily for the budget perspective, but if, Mitch, you can get a list of streets and what the pavement cycle is going to be, and if you have anything where you graded out the roads and you can tell me
sure.
what their grades are and what the projected resurface dates are.
The micro seals?
Yeah.
Yeah, we score
well,
the streets.
Not the seals, but the
yeah.
actual.
We score the streets every year, and it's not formalized in a report, but yeah, I could easily go through. We did a capital improvement plan, I want to say, 3 or 4 years ago, and I can easily send you that. This is the list of streets that we've identified for major reconstruction
okay.
and the status of those. That's not a problem.
Okay.
I can send it to all y'all or just if y'all want to come by and look at it. Whatever's at your leisure, whatever works best.
It doesn't hurt. Send it to all of us. Just copy us all on it. Thank you, Mitch. Is it okay, John?
That's on me.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for that. So it doesn't sound like there's anything different that we want in the capital outlays, so
no.
keep moving forward the way you are. You still don't have approval on the COLA yet, so just wait
That's
on
fine.
That. You're going to send us that formula.
Yes, sir.
So we can play with it a little bit more.
That's
is
great.
Is that cool?
That's great. I appreciate that. Thank
okay.
you.
Is that all you need right now?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I just need those certified rolls from the president.
I know.
They have until
and then we can,
end of the month.
And then we can chat again. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Thank you, Brenda. Council, thank you. I know that was a long meeting. We are almost at the end here. Number 19 are the city manager report. Over to you, Mr. Mylett.
Thank you, Mayor. For all our sake, I'll be as quick as possible. I just wanted to give council a quick update on the shared path project. So the resurfacing, the restriping, and the installation of the delineators for the bike / walking path up here on Estates will begin late August, early mid-September.
Wonderful.
So that's the update we have for that major project. The other note for some of the folks that look at the website more often is we do have the final draft, and it's bound, of the Woodway Forward Comprehensive Plan. The one that's on the website does still say draft. We're just waiting on the electronic version from Kim Lee Horn to change that over. Hopefully we'll have it this week, but so if anyone brings that to you, it's the same. It just has to have the the draft removed. And lastly, I received a complaint letter that was addressed to the council members, myself and our chief. We've done a little investigative work into it. Long story short, it's an out-of-state person that owns the property now. The property is burned. It's dilapidated. A safety issue. The gentleman that wrote the letter has mobility issues, so he wrote a letter, which I will give everybody a copy of tonight. But rest assured, it is being looked at, it is being addressed, and the schedule for remedy is July 29th for them to begin work, or we will be taking other action. So that's all I have, Mayor.
What's the, do you have the address on that? Is that in there?
It's all in there.
It's all in there. Yes. Okay. Very good. Thank you, Mr. Nylund. Mm-hmm. Mr. Nylund, do you have an update on when the sidewalk project is going to start, the one on States and Midway?
Yes, sir. So I don't have notes here for it, but the last I signed the agreement with TxDOT about a month maybe after our last meeting, after the meeting where it was on the agenda, because it was going to Sean's old email. That's been updated. It's been signed, returned. They have received it and acknowledged receipt, and they're looking at probably, if everything else falls into line, Mitch, correct me if I'm wrong, but in April, March or April, for them to begin the work on that sidewalk?
Correct. We have to go through the procurement process and hire an engineer following the TxDOT's procurement process, and then they will do the plans and specs. But the schedule they gave us, I want to say let's bid the project in April of next year.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. That's all I can pull up for
you. I appreciate it, Mr. Mallett. Thank you. Any questions for the manager? All right. Item number 20, last one, guys. City Council reports. Any updates from anybody on their liaison assignments?
Planning and zoning.
All right.
Tomorrow night. Yep.
Planning and zoning tomorrow night. Parks, nothing.
Till August.
So we have a bit of a break there.
I did have a question on a separate issue. We've got one meeting this month, had one meeting last month. Normally, when we have one meeting, we have a double meeting to make up for missing.
That's in November and December. The charter allows for one meeting per month for June, July, and August.
Okay.
The rest of the months, you have to have two meetings. And so one of my longtime predecessors said, well, what if you stack them back to back? So that's why you have two meetings in November and December to account for the holidays.
Okay. But now, did you say June, July, and August?
Yes, sir.
We only have one meeting each?
Only one required.
Only one required. So will we have two meetings? I thought we
in
had
August.
Two.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought we had that schedule. Okay.
One in June, one in July, and then back to normal in August.
Okay. That's what I had a question about.
Great. All righty. Well, if nobody else has anything, I will consider a motion to adjourn, please.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I second.
It's been moved and seconded. Thank you all in favor. Please say aye.
Aye. Good night.
We are adjourned at 8:41 p.m. Thank you all very much. See you in August.